Yo, yo, what's good, everybody? Sorry for the wait. No, Wayne. When you got no producer, you got to set up everything yourself. But I appreciate everybody that came and will watch or come through and watch the rewatch episode 200. We've been talking about this for about 2 months now.
It's been a while.
And I know people like, well, didn't you drop some episodes a couple weeks ago? I said, yeah, I dropped some episodes, but they want episode 200. And I'm mad because we got a middle shot, and the middle shot is not shot right now. But we got 200 right here, as you can see on the balloons. But yeah, man, appreciate y'all. We're going to actually give the fans a time to come up and rock with us, either be in the middle or the end. But got some interesting topics, really.
We do.
A lot of fun ones. But first, you got your thing?
Yeah.
We're going to do it on the count of three.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Happy episode 200.
Oh, yeah, you do still got your hat on.
Yeah.
More power to you.
I'm trying to be, a little festive, Hopefully I don't regret it when I watch the footage.
I don't think so. Let me see. I think we either start off. Well, no, I actually had a couple of icebreakers.
Let's get it.
What do we have on there? Let me see.
No, I love a good icebreaker.
First is the Super Bowl. Shout out to the Seahawks for winning. I'm glad because the Patriots was frauds. They didn't really pay nobody good in the playoffs, and that's why they lost. And they also lost because Bo Nix was hurt.
Okay.
So
I only watched for the concert. You know, I might have watched like 10 minutes afterwards, but it wasn't an interesting game for me.
Did you... I ain't gonna lie. I don't know what the first stuff Bad Bunny was saying, but it was kind of fly.
I'm just gonna tell you, didn't understand anything he said, and that's okay. I was absolutely not bothered by it. I absolutely did a little shimmy, did a little 1-2, did a little 2-step. Yeah. But I did get on TikTok after it was over to get, like, I knew people were gonna do translations, so I did at least understand, like, what some of his music was about and what he was saying, and I rock with him.
Yeah.
Bad Bunny, yeah.
Also, just to be a little messy, black people know how to speak in these universal languages. You know, before the game, they was asking Cardi B, what do you got to say to Stefan? And she was like, good luck. They was like, yeah, they beefed out.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
She still kept it cute, though. We know how Cardi get.
She left early, didn't it?
I don't know.
Oh, no, it was a lot of messy
it
stuff
was a
going
lot
on.
Of stuff going on, for sure.
That boy was strapped up. Like a asylum patient, but it's all good. It's all good. And then it's been a while since we actually been on here. It's been almost a month, right? Close to a month since me and you recorded.
It hasn't been that long.
It's been close to
we
it.
We ain't recorded this month? I mean, this year? Or was it early January?
We recorded in January,
year.
Like top early January. Because me and Nate was like 3 weeks ago when you recorded.
Actually, yeah. That was like the 17th-ish. Yeah, somewhere around there.
And... I forgot about the Force finale. So, I mean, it's been so long ago, I don't know how interested people would be in it. But let me see if people
I didn't know that was the finale when I commented on your story. I thought it was like a meme or something.
If people are, whether you're on Twitter right now watching this or you're on YouTube, if you enjoy J. Cole's The Fall Off, I want you to put a one up. That way I know you're still rocking with us. And also... All you got to do when you come into the stream is just hit the thumbs up button if you're watching on YouTube. It's the easiest way to let YouTube know people watching us and send traffic our way. That's all you got to do for episode 200. You don't even got to click the link that I got pinned in the chat to support the show. But did you listen to The Fall Off?
No. A few songs, but no. I've been busy.
I was about to say, so you're saying he put you to sleep?
No. Not at all. I don't have a song to name, but I've listened to a couple of them, but I can't give an impression right now. But I'm never going to hate on him. I think he's a lyricist. I love him. So I just need to sit down and like actually have a good full listen through. But I heard from TikTok that it was pretty good. Like I've heard some, clips and stuff and breakdowns.
You heard from, I ain't going to lie, you probably heard from a lot of like J. Cole
stans. So you hated it? You liked it?
I think it's solid.
Okay.
I think he's a very capable rapper. I was expecting more. It's like he gave more to his features. Like, somebody made a good post. They said, J. Cole make albums for his fans. Like, hate or love it, I still like K-Dot. Mm-hmm. And K-Dot do a lot of things and risk conceptually, but he will have some hits smacked in there and then some other stuff. So he will do that. With the J. Cole stuff, it's like, I know you're an exceptional rapper. I'm looking for...
You want him to go harder.
Some wild stuff. And I didn't really get that from the album. I made a comparison on my Twitter for people that follow me on Twitter. I said, J. Cole's The Fall Off reminded me of Shakur Stevenson being Teofimo Lopez. I expected Shakur to dominate. I wanted him to stop him. So I was expecting that next level if it's supposed to be your last album, because I already know you're good. Like, it's like if you get straight A's or whatever you do in school and the teacher expect that out of you. And it's like, okay, you, that's easy for you. I want you to try to do something else.
Something different.
Go get the Nobel Peace Prize. Like,
so you want to hear him go hard about...
Nah, it's just when you listen to the album, you'll understand. Like, if you go back and listen to all his stuff, you'll be like... Yeah, he's very capable. Anytime you hear him on a feature, he's a very capable rapper. Like, but the difference is when he get on features, he on like different beats. Like, I don't know. It's like I said, it's good. It ain't bad, but it's definitely too long, and it's some songs that could have been done away with. But I mean, it's still a solid album. So now he's been driving around in a Honda Civic, selling his CDs. And
I've seen that on TikTok too, and he been checking them too. Don't come over here with all that foolishness.
Yeah, for sure. But let's see. What do we have
first? You said you had another icebreaker.
No, you had some. You had the Apple Watch and the Oura Ring.
Yeah. So if you have an Apple Watch and an Oura Ring, I would like to know which one do you prefer and why. I love my Apple Watch down, but I'm thinking about the Oura Ring and switching to that. So, yeah, I want to know what the people think if you have either or. Only thing I don't like about the Oura Ring is you have to buy the ring and pay a subscription month to month, and I just think that's a little OD. But, I mean, make your money. I get it.
I haven't had a smartwatch in a while, but I definitely...
I wouldn't appreciate buying an Apple Watch and then paying a subscription fee monthly, you know?
I guess I would have to research them and see, like, what's the real benefit of getting an Oura Ring versus... Yeah. Just going to sleep in your Fitbit or your Garmin or your...
I mean, Apple gives you some good stuff, but a lot of people that I know personally who have an Oura Ring have been like, absolutely get it. It gives you so much insight. So, yeah, let your girl know what you think if you have one or the other.
All right. So, I think one of the... We can kind of wait to get into some of like... The stuff that the title's about, I wanted to touch on something real quick because everybody has been going crazy about the Epstein files and all the stuff. Honestly, I hadn't looked at any of it. Outside of what I've seen on Twitter, I haven't went to go find it.
Okay, pause. Have you heard of jmill.world?
No.
Okay, so there's a guy, and I'm mad. I wish I would have done a little bit more research to give him his shout out. But he basically built a Gmail, like,
suite. Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, and... I be on there. I be right on up and through the emails, looking through. I mean, because it's easier to, what's the word? It's easier to digest. It's emails, chats, pictures, where flights he's taken, things he's ordered on Amazon. I mean, they got all the juice.
Yeah. For me, I looked at it as like, I understand why people care, but my thing is like, what's going to really happen once it's released? Nothing at all.
I mean, it's already been released and ain't nothing happened. Yeah. He ain't here.
So, like, even with the people who made me involved, like, I saw it was a lawyer or something at Goldman Sachs because she was close to somebody. She stepped down because she wanted the scrutiny. It's a lot of them, you know, them pale folk people that's on there. And there's been conspiracy theories that for all the flack they try to give Michael Jackson and try to play Michael Jackson with messing with
kids. I did see that as well.
They said he was using Neverland to save the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And funny enough...
It's crazy because, I mean, I don't know how true it is, but I could see it. You know what I mean? Like, I could understand that. Because, I mean, I ain't even going to get into all of that, but yeah.
Well, no, all of them when they was older was like, yo, he never did nothing to me. My parents was trying to get some money and they persuaded them to do the stupid stuff. Like, that's crazy. But here's one of the articles I found about, like, Epstein had a hacker that's, like, has a connection to Black Hat. So imagine being one of the most respected names in cybersecurity only to have your name appear 2,000 times, I don't know, 23. I can't get through it because I'm reading it saying 2,300, but if y'all been keeping up with Glorilla and her sister, when she said all she need from Glorilla was 2,500, so that's why I started laughing. But to imagine how your name appeared 2,300 times in the newly unsealed Jeffrey Epstein documents. That exactly is what happening to Vincenzo Lazo. I think that's how you say his name. Vincenzo isn't just some random script kiddie. He's the founder of Slash ID and a veteran of the elite cybersecurity circuit. But this week, he was abruptly scrubbed from the review boards of the world's biggest hacking conferences, Black Hat and Code Blue. Why? Because the DOJ just dropped a bombshell. According to investigative files, Lozo is allegedly the personal hacker Epstein used between 2014 and 2018. The reports claim that Epstein didn't just want a luxury, he wanted a digital leverage. Informant alleged Lozo was tasked with everything from setting up secure communications to potentially more nefarious digital activities. Lozo was fighting back, though. He claims his interactions with Epstein were strictly professional business dealings and that he didn't resign from Black Hat. He was pushed out. This raises a massive question for our industry. How much due diligence do these big conferences actually do on their leadership? If the hacker for hire rumors are true, this isn't just a PR nightmare. It's a security breach at the highest levels of the InfoSec community. 2,300 messages is a lot. What type of business you need with 2,300 messages? And can he prove that it was only that?
Probably not. Probably not. Personal hacker, though. You said that. Personal hacker. Haven't heard that term used before, but I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, it's like bro was on some like, if anybody's seen the show Found, you watch Found yet?
I heard it was good, but no.
It's where the people who've been kidnapped, they all have these issues where either they've been kidnapped or something happened to them, abducted as a child or a grown person, and they band together to go help other people that are lost and found. It's one guy who's like a hacker. He can't leave his house. Like, he'll have a heart attack if he leave the house, like, literally. I don't know what that symptom is called or somebody want to tell me in the chat, but he's scared to leave the house. He's pretty much day hacker. Mm-hmm. Like, he's hacking the traffic cams and everything. So it's going to be interesting because this guy probably is one-on-one, and he probably know how to cover his tracks well, but there's always some residue left over in that, as we see with that. So definitely going to be pretty interesting to see how all this stuff play out as more stuff happens when we think about, like, I don't know, like, was the Bill Gates stuff, was all that stuff true or, like?
You don't even know what's true.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people just throwing stuff out there.
How do you know?
Zero trust. Trust but verify.
That was a good one. I still think about that joke all the time where you was like, you was like, GUIs is DUI. DE&I, that was funny. That was funny.
They are. I think that, you know what, though? All my life I thought about, like, wanting to be, like, a comic or do a comic set. I would probably love to do one on, like, cybersecurity, working in corporate, all this different stuff. I would try to figure out the material.
Let me find out you're finna be on, what's it called here? Hyena.
What's Hyena?
The little comedy club. I think that's what it's called.
I ain't never been there.
Yeah. It's actually fun. It's pretty cool. Hmm. Maybe having some good folks there. It's been a couple times.
Last thing I did for a comedy club was freaking improv in Addison.
I've been there too.
Yeah. I saw D. Ray Davis.
Oh, was he good? Yeah.
Funny.
All right, what we got next?
What you got next?
Should I start him off hot?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about the AI safety leader at Anthropic. So the story is a senior AI safety leader at Anthropic, that is the company behind Claude, has resigned and posted a letter with a pretty heavy line. He said the world is in peril. He also said he's stepping away from the industry to focus on writing poetry and moving back to the UK for a while. Now, before that becomes a meme, the reason this is news is because he wasn't a random employee. He led safeguard-related work. And according to reporting, his work touched topics like why AI assistants can get overly agreeable with users, AI misuse risk like bioterrorism support, and how AI assistants might change human behavior over time. And in his letter, he's basically pointing at a bigger tension that's been sitting in the AI industry for a minute, which is the difference between we care about safety as a mission statement and what happens when you're under pressure to ship, compete, and grow. Now, I do want to be clear. I don't really want to scare folks. This isn't like a panic story. This is definitely a pay attention story, because when people who work on the guardrails leave loudly as he did, it's usually a signal that the internal push and pull is starting to get a bit more real, maybe even more aggressive. So his resignation happened in the same window as another big conversation, ads and AI. So Anthropic has been publicly taking shots at OpenAI over the idea of ads showing up in ChatGPT, like Super Bowl ads, what the line ads are coming to AI, but not to Claude. OpenAI Sam Altman clapped back and basically said that he basically called the ads misleading, and essentially the internet did what it does. But the grown-up part of this conversation is really how a product makes money shape how it behaves. When the business model changes, the priorities can change, and that's not coincidence. It's really just economics. So what I think people miss when they hear ads in AI, I might see a banner. It's not really the incentive behind it, because with that advertisement, what we typically see is that platforms are trying to optimize things like more time spent, more engagement, smoother persuasion. And if you hear that and you're like, well, that just sounds like social media, that's exactly what it is. So researchers are nervous about repeating that cycle with something people talk to, like a companion, which we know people do. So what does this mean for regular folks who are trying to basically just live life and use some of these AI tools? Make sure that you're treating chatbots like tools and not like confession booths. If you wouldn't put it in a work email, don't put it in a chatbot. Not your deepest trauma, not your relationship secrets, not your job's confidential info, none of that. Secondly, is you want to make sure that you're paying attention to the product tier you're using. If something is free, it doesn't mean that it's bad. It just means that somebody is paying, and the how in that situation matters. And then number three, be mindful of the emotional hook. If a tool starts to feel like the only thing that understands you, then what that just means is that you need to take a step back. I just want to keep you protected there. So for the folks that are in tech or trying to break in tech, how that translates to maybe some career advice is this whole moment is really just about AI governance, model risk management, privacy and data protection, and security controls, most importantly for AI tools. So if your lane is security, privacy, GRC, or cloud, you're early to this conversation, because companies are essentially about to need employees who can basically answer, how do we deploy this responsibly without creating additional harm?
Yeah. Funny that you talked about banners and ads and stuff like that. There's this new, well, it's not new. It's new to me because I just followed him on X. But this page called Remarks, it said, this just in, OpenAI projects a $14 billion loss in 2026.
Why would they project such a thing?
Because I think about how many, you got to remember, OpenAI was first to market. All we heard about ChatGPT. Then slowly but surely, Claude, Gemini, Copilot, any other one that I'm, you know, not mentioning, all those came out. And to me, they were better. Like, I know you're a ChatGPT stan, but you know all the time.
Relax.
I am a Gemini guy.
I hate Gemini. When I was trying to get it to play around with the pictures, it was just making, it was like, can't. I think it thought that because I was trying to give it a reference of a movie poster that is, I don't know, but it was assuming that I was trying to get it to create an AI character of a celebrity. And I will say that chat don't care what you put in there. It's not going to give you that feedback that I got when I was in Gemini.
Mm-hmm. Do me a favor. Yeah. Touch the pullout screen. Just touch it. Okay. Touch it again. There we go. All right. For whatever reason, the head got like unfocused or whatnot. But That's cool. Now, what I actually want to, let me move this from the studio. Let's talk about first of all, how many people saw the Ring Super Bowl commercial?
I didn't see it still yet, but I have heard that it was going on.
Let me see. Here it is right here.
I'm sorry, the Ring camera wants to do what?
Until now. One post of a dog's photo in the Ring app starts outdoor cameras looking for a match. Search Party from Ring uses AI to help families find lost dogs.
That's straight up surveillance state. They are using dogs and dogs going missing to launch into a complete, utter surveillance state. And with ICE patrolling around and having their budget, abso-fucking-lutely not. Everyone should get rid of Ring, go to a new company, whatever the fuck. Ring camera ain't it.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Huh?
Yeah, so even with, so from that, everything broke. I don't know why they thought that was a good idea. Because
With all of the publicity that they done had with people's cameras and Rings getting hacked and like the crazy, in mass amounts.
But the crazy thing is they can just say they not doing it, even though they are. All these things are connected.
This is exactly why I don't want to Ring camera.
I don't know if we really got any guardrails around IoT.
We don't.
Because they can
because
always
it's
say,
so old. Because
that's just like the whole issue is separate but different. I mean, separate but similar. The issue with Microsoft Windows and allowing federal law enforcement to get access to your machine through BitLocker, it's similar but different. But we don't even know because there's so many different companies that have this. So now, if I'm a company, I'm banking on privacy and say, hey, you got to get up there like Suge Knight. If you don't want nobody all surveilling through your camera, looking at who comes to your house and all this AI stuff, come to so-and-so. That's what I'll say because –
that would actually be a fire commercial.
Yeah, because they just thought about all the different... You know, everybody been trying to go viral with the jingles now.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since the little girl got paid for...
Did you see the Vaseline guy? The black guy?
I seen it.
Yeah.
Did they respond?
Yeah, like they flew him out somewhere. I don't know what happened. I don't know. But
you know my...
But they flew him out and he was singing a song and he had some bedazzled Vaseline... Remember, what's the word?
Memorabilia?
There we go.
Yeah, we like PayPal over Super Chat because, you know, Super Chat, YouTube kind of bust that down and they take some money out of that. So PayPal come directly to us. But that remind me of the little girl, Dr. Pepper, baby.
It's
good and nice. Do-do-do. I had some Dr. Pepper right after that, but... After the whole fiasco with Ring, you had Amazon Ring just learned a very expensive lesson. You can't market mass surveillance as a neighborhood pet finder and expect people not to notice. During Super Bowl 60, Ring aired an ad for a new feature called Search Party. The premise seemed innocent. A family loses their dog, and the neighborhood's AI-powered Ring cameras automatically scan the streets to find it. But privacy advocates led by Senator Ed Markey immediately sounded the alarm. They called it surveillance gaslighting. The reality is that if a camera can find a dog, it can find a person. Critics argue that this tech is a backdoor for real-time facial recognition and license plate tracking that can be shared with police or ICE without the warrant. The backlash was so swift that Ring has already canceled a partnership with Flock Safety, the company that provides the license plate reading tech. Ring is claiming resource constraints, but we all know the truth. The public isn't ready for Minority Report in their cul-de-sac just yet.
And then also, just because I bought a Ring camera don't mean I give permission for y'all to use my camera to do anything that I didn't give y'all permission to do, number one.
Yeah, man.
And then do you know how much money they spent on that commercial just for it not to be that? Like, why didn't they do a study group? Why didn't they do a test group to gauge how people were going to react?
This is the results of not having good DEI. Because if a black person then they can be honest, they gonna say
that ain't no way.
This ain't it.
Yeah, period.
This ain't it for you.
Yeah. Especially knowing that they done had all these incidents of compromise or data breach, theft, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, nah, for sure. Like, what's the one? No, that you weren't here that day. But I read one out similar that schools are using stuff like this to report incidents or stuff at school where they wrongfully accused the young man for doing something, the police arrested him and did all the other stuff. This ain't gonna be no different.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, recognize a person.
The way to gauge it as a dog, and then tomorrow it's gonna be a human. Yeah, you know, and if you're wanted.
And just take it off ICE stuff, police. Hey, are we looking for a black male with a hoodie on, suspicious looking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Flock Safety. Open your cameras. But the crazy thing is, though, they probably already can do this. Just like they can already hack the traffic cams. This ain't nothing new. Nothing new at all.
I'm not really feeling that.
Me either.
Would you get a Ring camera?
Absolutely not. They got hacked.
If they didn't do this.
So right now I got a Nest. Right now I'm good with Nest. I had nothing happen with Nest. I like them for the most part. But it's always an issue, though, when you do have yourself connected to the internet regardless.
For sure.
There's that chance. And so a lot of people, I don't know. I think it's going to be much more interesting the U.S. is late. Other countries, they got legitimate smart cities, for real.
And laws and regulations and order and structure.
Nah, that's facts, though. I think.
I can pull it up next.
Yeah, pull it up, because I think I'm going to go to the Reddit post next.
Okay, student IT support agents learn by helping others. So, Virginia Tech has just dropped a piece on their For Help IT support desk. And the key detail is when you reach out for help by phone, ticket, email, or in person, there's a good chance you're talking to a Virginia Tech student, because students make up roughly half of their frontline support staff. Now, why does this matter? During the 2025 fiscal year, For Help handled over 65,000 support tickets, and student wage employees worked 7,579 hours helping process them. Obviously, that's not a little bit of campus work. That is high volume operational experience that these students are actually able to gain. Now, they are also saying that student staffing does help them stay available 24/7, 365, especially during peak times like the start of the semester. And it helped them bring back in-person support on campus after nearly a five-year hiatus. But the bigger story is what the students are actually getting out of it. They're building communication, teamwork, time management, problem-solving skills, and adaptability. And students in the article essentially were stating that these skills have helped them stand out when it came to landing internships and obtaining some early career roles. So if you're trying to break into IT or cyber, don't sleep on support roles. It's paid experience, real tickets, real users, and real pressure in a network that you continue to grow and flourish. So I just thought that was dope to highlight, because I feel like, as we know, when it comes to IT roles, they get slept on a lot. And I think that's a beautiful thing that they're able to open that up to students. And I think that actually more counties and cities who need the support, we've seen a lot of stuff happen here in the DFW with different areas that have been breached, compromised, and or lack of support. So I think that if there is an ability to allow students at local community colleges, universities, whatever it may be, to gain some experience working to support a county, community that they're a part of, I just think it's super dope. So that's why I wanted to bring that up. If you're in Virginia, you might want to check them out.
Yeah, no, I mean, never mind. I mean, in college, I did IT work for like a year or two at the College of Business.
So did you do like work study?
It was a work study job. Mm-hmm. So this is, and I got to get him on the show. Like I said.
Can you tell the people where work study is?
For the people who don't make a lot of money and you come from the struggle, you can get a work study job when you're in college. Now, most, it depends though. It's either based on the semesters or quarters, but it's going to be a certain amount of money you can get that semester or quarter. And 9 out of 10, you're only going to work like 20 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And if you got a good boss that you're working for, and they know you're busy with school and tests and stuff like that, they're like, hey, don't even worry about coming. They're just like, just put your time down so you get your money. So that's how he's doing it. Well, think about it. It's not coming from the, I think it's federal. I don't think it's, it might be coming a little bit from the school, but it's like, hey, it's not, these are not hours that I have to do from our budget. It's like a whole separate budget. So he's like, get your money. Like, make sure you put your 20 hours down.
I will say,
for the month or for the week.
I never did work study, but a lot of people that I did, that I know who did it, they were able to have a lot of flexibility and like do homework and things like that. Most of the people that I know were like in an office, not really doing much, or they were like working in the gym or like the fitness center on campus at the front desk, you know, checking people in, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yep, at the intramural. Dang, I'm trying to find some. I'll find it in a second. So I've been on Reddit lately.
Which one? I mean, like, not which one, but like,
just different ones. It'll tell me different things. I had one that we should talk about, HR. You know, everybody always think HR is to help them out, but it's really to help the company out. And so I want to tell this tall tale. A friendly warning from someone in HR. We are not on your side. That's what it say. I need to get this off my chest because I see this happening all the time. People think HR is there to help them, but that's a very dangerous misconception. I work in HR at a large company, and I watch this play out from my desk every day. When someone comes to complain about bullying, discrimination, or anything else that crosses the line, our first priority is always to figure out if this could turn into a lawsuit against the company. Protecting the employee is not the primary goal at all. After we make that assessment, we usually go down one or two familiar paths, start building a case against them to find a reason to fire them, or make their life a living hell until they get fed up and resign on their own. I've seen this happen more times than you can imagine. So, what should you do when you face a major problem at work? First, never report anything verbally. Don't do it orally. Instead, write a clear email explaining the situation to your manager and HR, and always BCC your personal email in the email with a simple question: how does the company intend to handle this situation? Now, I will say, in my experience, like, you could be careful with trying to send something from the org to your personal email because it may not get there.
Cute little DLP.
Just know that much. HR will likely try to call you or set up a meeting. They hate leaving a paper trail. You can agree to the meeting, but you must send a follow-up email immediately afterwards summarizing everything that was said and any promises that were made. And again, BCC your personal email. They may try to intimidate you, asking what you want or if you're looking for financial compensation. Don't fall into that trap. Never resign. That's their dream scenario because it absolves them of responsibility. They may also dangle a severance package to get you to sign away your rights. Don't sign any papers before speaking with a lawyer specializing in labor law. Your case might be strong and worth much more than their initial offer. The bottom line, HR's job is to protect the company from you, keep a paper trail for everything, and don't let them pressure you into resigning or signing anything without consulting a lawyer first. And here's a little inside secret. It's even worse for us. The most vicious I ever seen department get was when an HR employee themselves reported a problem. Honestly, it gets very ugly. Take care of yourselves, everyone. That's why the company pays for HR and the workers pay for the union. If HR was intended to benefit employees, the companies would have found a way to make workers pay for it. It is very important to take precautions and not trust anyone, and to always take precautions such as keeping your resume updated, following the job market and available jobs as they come, and knowing the available tools that can help you during an interview. Among them is InterviewMan AI, which helps you answer the difficult questions in interviews through a hidden window that gives you a real-time response. This is very useful if the person actually possesses the skill but feels nervous during interviews. Please don't trust any part of the company.
I'm not mad at it because people do need to hear that. People do need to hear that because I feel like people that look like us love to, I'm gonna go to HR, and not knowing, with hopes that HR is going to support their side of the story, not knowing, like it said, that HR is to protect the company. So I thought that was a good article.
Yo, man, let me shout out J. Lou real quick, man, for dropping the super chat. Let me hang on, it's not showing.
Justin Time J. Lou. Shout out to you.
Oh, you know what? Let me do it from StreamYard. That's why I'm tripping. There we go. Congrats to making the 200 episodes, y'all. What y'all think of companies penalizing applicants for using AI? Also, this 29 or 39, LOL, if you know, you know. That's a good one. I'm going to start the second part first, J. Lou. I'm going to say, I think I actually enjoyed 29 more on the second and third listens because it seemed like it was a little bit more cohesive, even though he was snapping on a couple of joints on 39. Secondly, for the companies penalizing people for AI, they're really not penalizing the people, like if you're using AI for your resume. I mean, they do want it to be decent. I will say that much. However, and I've talked to people in interview processes when it's hiring managers, they're saying, these people don't even attempt to try to interview or do anything the right way.
Yeah.
So back to what the HR person was saying, using this interview man thing, don't use that. Because now, like, I had to do an assessment the other night. I had to show my camera and had to record my screen. you're not finna out finesse the stuff. Everything y'all do, that's gonna be something to counter it. So instead, you're better off just being honest and giving your best foot forward and losing, hopefully getting some good feedback to get better at interviewing versus cheating and then possibly all these people starting to put you on this like do not hire list, and now it's even tougher for you to get a role. So that exists too. But for the most part, they don't care if you use it on your resume. It helps you tailor it, and as long as it's not like too generic. I think some people go overboard with it because everybody's resume start looking the same.
That's what I was
So don't say. Have your resume read like a job description, like make sure it's unique, but yeah.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think that when you can tell that none of it is self, I don't know the word, that you didn't put any effort to changing anything. You just literally pasted it into AI and copied it right onto your resume. It'd be pretty obvious. You can absolutely tell, especially because it typically repeats the same terms and verbiage, and it describes the impact and things the same way, even though they're different roles. So I think that that is like the part that they're quote unquote punishing.
Yeah, no.
But I'm going to say, I haven't listened to the J. Cole album, but I'm just going to pick one. I'm going to pick, which one was he talking where he kept calling that guy the bad word?
Poor Thing?
Yeah. Which one is that on?
I think that's Diss 29, I think.
Whichever one that is on is the one I'm
You know,
for.
So the song I just put on my story, that's on J. Cole too. Mm-hmm. When he said, who the one I put the city on?
Yeah.
That's him. Like I said, excellent. Like I'll tell people now, I've been to a J. Cole show. Excellent.
Did I understand?
Yeah.
We'll go again?
Yeah, for sure. Like, it was the show when he came to Dallas where Thug was the co-headliner. So, we got the rap. Like, when I tell you everybody got hyped the rap lifestyle, like, to the top of their lungs. But the crazy thing about that Cole concert was that I told everybody, if I'm lying, hold on. Matter of fact, I'm hit the Kevin Gates. If I'm lying, if I'm lying, may God strike my kids down. I told him, I said, hey, we not going to leave here until Cole do no role models. So everybody thought the concert was over. He said, hold on, it ain't over. And then he said, hey, put them fingers to the ceiling. And then that first thing first, rest in peace, Uncle Phil came on.
For real?
Yeah. So.
Period. Okay, so I have an article. It isn't one of our typical or regular articles. It is sponsored, written by the president of Optiv and ClearShark, which is a federal-focused security provider. So it's basically giving you an executive perspective to persuade agencies to basically take identity serious. And I've been talking about this for a while, so I'm excited to share this. So cybersecurity in 2026 is not about who can hack the hardest. It's about who can log in and look normal doing it. And that's why FedScoop wrote this particular piece. And they're basically saying that identity is the definitive defense for federal agencies. I personally think for everyone. So what that means is that the network perimeter or the castle wall isn't the main thing anymore, because we're not all sitting in the office. We're not all sitting in one building. We're not all sitting on the same network. We're at home. We're at the dealership. We're picking up our kids in the pickup line. We're doing a bunch of different things. And so the wall basically has doors everywhere. So the real question becomes, who are you? Are you really you? What are you allowed to touch? And should we trust this sign-in right now? And that is what we think about from an identity perspective. So if you're trying to break in to tech security, identity intra, we have Active Directory. What are some other identity provider solutions? Okta,
Duo,
Ping, just to get your head thinking. So attackers love identity because they don't always need some fancy exploit, which is typically what we see with CVEs. So if they can basically steal a session, if they can hijack a token, if they can fish a login, or basically bother you enough, which we call fatigue, into approving a MFA prompt, they're in. And once they're in as a real user, and everything that they do basically will look legitimate until it's too late. Now, the article is pointing out that AI makes this mess worse because social engineering gets faster and more believable, which means that the scam basically is able to sound cleaner or more realistic. So with that, the timing of this gets smarter, the volume of things go up. So we can't keep defending like we're still basically in 2016. So what do you do? What they're saying is to push a more dynamic identity setup, which I agree with. So from an identity governance perspective, making sure people only have what they need and access gets removed when role changes, you would be surprised at how many people don't do this. When roles get changes, reassess those roles that you have permission to. The second is behavior checks. Is this normal for this user? I'm going to give an example. If I never log in after 5 o'clock and then suddenly I'm logging in at 10 p.m., 11 p.m., 12 a.m., that should ring a bell or alarm in your EUBA, Entity User Behavior. Is it analysis? Analysis system? It should ring that. Number three is adaptive access. If the risk looks too high, set up the verification or block it. So if the risk is too high, I might be required to perform another factor of authentication, or I might be blocked altogether because it's just too suspicious and that risk is too high. Now, why I think that this is important is if identity is weak, your whole environment is essentially mushy. The bottom line is security isn't just lock the network. It is actually controlling the identity and the access, because if the attacker can sign in like you, your tools are working against you. So when we think about zero trust, there are three core principles. If you know what the three principles are, what does this article highlight? Which one of those three core principles? We have verify explicitly. We have assume breach. And what's the third one? Why am I having a brain fart? Verify explicitly, assume breach, and least privilege access. So, yeah. What do you think about that? It's conditional access. That's basically what they're talking about in PIM and things like that. So if you work in an organization on the identity side, do you guys have dynamic conditional access policies in place? What do they look like? Are you blocking requests? Are you requiring them to perform additional methods to prove that they are exactly who they say that they are?
Yeah, that's what you say, UBA, and then you got RBA, risk-based alerting, where it's going to notify you. A lot of tools got it built in inherently because of that. But one of the things you brought up, people still don't address in organizations, is MFA fatigue. I believe that's how Uber was hacked a couple of years ago.
And the thing is that this is what I think the issue is. I think that it's a thing, but I think that we have to remember to include in our end user training these things that change, right? So not only do we have to teach our users how to set up MFA, now we need to teach them about what MFA fatigue is and how to report an MFA request that they receive that is not them. So just take it serious is the moral to the story there.
Yeah, no, I agree. And there's some stuff that I can actually say on that, but it'd be pretty cool. But I will say companies are finally upgrading the way that they have people learn about security threats and security awareness to keep them more engaged, to make it fit today's times versus that same thing you do
from the 90s, something every, boring.
Every quarter, every 6 months, it's the same thing. We just going our way through and like, hey, like, so they're changing that. So I will say that is cool on their end. Let me see, because I got some cool stuff for y'all, guys. I decided to make this a little bit more interactive, and we're gonna probably gonna drop the link in a bit and have some fun. And if people that rock with us and are still watching the show and y'all up, we'll let y'all come up. But let's see what else we got. I think this is a good one, and because you know how you have all these people trying to act like they so morally better than us? Now, meanwhile, they posting this on Facebook, but telling us about data centers. Now, I realize on Facebook, all this stuff is powered by a data center. But let's listen to this.
I just saw this viral video. The woman was talking about AI data centers, how horrible that is, and how pointless generative AI is. And she was very clearly reading from a ChatGPT-generated script. And this is something that has been bothering me to no end for the past year, really. You can tell when somebody has a ChatGPT generated script. Like, I don't think everybody can. It's one of those things that when you see, you can't unsee. The cadence, the style, there are these literary tools that the LLMs just abuse and overuse. And we can see those grubby LLM fingerprints all over everything that you're saying. It's the sheer number of people that are clearly reading off of these scripts and not changing much about them. it stands out to me as somebody who appreciates like unique writing and unique storytelling perspectives. And it's just, it really bothers me because I just hate the way that it sounds. It just doesn't sound like a unique voice. Does that make sense? And maybe I'm a snob about this sort of thing. I don't think that there's anything wrong with scripting either, by the way. I think that scripting is a great method. I think it's a great tool, especially if you're trying to make a lot of different points that are maybe complex or nuanced. It's just so annoying and so boring and void of any sort of interesting human aspect. I mean, it sucks my soul out to listen to, even if great points are being made. Anyways, I think it always sounds bad and inhuman, but I think it's particularly hypocritical to be making anti-generative AI videos while AI generates your script. That's kind of ridiculous. Make content, please, please. Short form, long form, doesn't matter. Please come up with your own idea. It's killing me. It's killing me. And it's eroding the minds of every human being that comes in contact with it.
I agree.
It stopped playing.
Yeah, I removed it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think everybody is acting like, remember I said we're going to do the deep dive one day about data centers.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely how we want to research, what's the one that all the data centers is in? U.S. East 1, is it Arlington, Virginia?
Somewhere.
I think it's Arlington. But we're going to research how they're thriving and how everybody just thinks all their resources are going to be messed up because they get a data center. And not by the stuff that's already messed up in the environment.
I just hate that there are so many. I hate that people see one video and they immediately believe whatever it is that's being talked about without actually, like, bring back research, bring back critical thinking, bring back curiosity, bring back other resources outside of chat. Now, don't get me wrong. I love me some chat. But Google works too. There's other resources that you can use to get information and to gain knowledge. So I agree with him wholeheartedly.
Yeah, and you can also, like, so my friend Benny, I didn't share his because his was shooting at Deontay and the other Justin dude, where Justin is clearly using ChatGPT. Now, I don't know if he's scripting out his stuff and using ChatGPT to clean it up, or is he straight doing prompts and using it. But I can only tell. I've had the script stuff out, like, for my LinkedIn learning course and other things. I had the script out my intros and everything else out. Or, like, for certain videos I've made, I've had to script them out myself. So I can tell.
I don't think it's anything wrong with using it as a tool, but I think you need to go in and make it you.
But here, where it could be wrong, if you using it and then acting like they're your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
and, like, you are a subject matter expert on these things.
Please don't do the subject matter expert.
And appear to be smarter than what you are.
Yeah. Because all you can say is what it told you. There's no rebuttal after that.
Right. And so that's why you can always see, it's like, that's how you can tell somebody used it. So I like he was coming straight off the dome. He's that guy, by the way, is has a doctorate in astrophysics. He's an astrophysicist. There we go. So he's, I guess you would say, smart.
Okay, my turn. Uber Eats launches AI assistant to help with grocery cart creation. My type of party. Uber Eats announced a new AI feature, cart assistant, on Wednesday, designed to fill customers' grocery carts faster and easier. The beta version is now available in the app. To use a new chatbot, users search for a grocery store in the Uber Eats app, and they tap the purple cart assistant icon on the store's page to begin shopping. Customers can enter a list or upload an image of one, and cart assistants will automatically add the necessary items to their basket. This includes photos of handwritten lists or screenshots of recipes and their ingredients. Users can then customize the basket by swapping items for preferred brands and adding more products from the store. Uber Eats notes the cart assistant uses previous orders to prioritize familiar items like your usual milk, your favorite oatmeal, to make the experience more personalized. Users were telling us they wanted a quicker way to shop, and we know how precious your time is, Uber CTO Praveen Nepali Naga said in a statement. Cart assistants help you get from idea to checkout in seconds. Cart assistants could help Uber Eats better compete with other food delivery and grocery apps that are already integrating or developing AI chatbots. For example, Instacart launched an AI search tool powered by OpenAI's ChatGPT in 2023 to help customers save time and receive personalized shopping recommendations. DoorDash was also reportedly testing an AI chatbot called Dash AI that same year. Last year, both Uber Eats and rival DoorDash integrated with ChatGPT to streamline food ordering. With Uber Eats, U.S. users can browse local restaurants and menus in ChatGPT, then complete their purchase in the Uber Eats app. DoorDash's integration allows users to request meal plans and automatically add all necessary ingredients to their DoorDash order. Notably, Bloomberg reported in 2023 that Uber Eats was developing an AI-powered chatbot that was supposedly ask users about their budget and food preferences and help them place an order. Overall, Uber Eats is rapidly investing in AI, including tools for merchants like AI-generated menu descriptions, enhanced food photos, and customer review summaries. Pause. I am a stan for this. However, do not put any AI-enhanced food photos on there. I want to see what the plate looked like. Please don't get me hyped to get this crab boil. And it's an AI picture, please. But overall, I love the idea of this. I'm a DoorDasher, so DoorDash, step y'all cookies up so y'all can get, like, Uber Eats. Because I love that idea. We see recipes all the time, and I think if it were as easy for you to upload a picture of the ingredients of that recipe and just put it in your cart without you having to search for 20 different things, I think it would make cooking a lot more easier for folks. Or maybe folks will be a little bit more likely to do it because they have, you know, that ease of obtaining whatever it is that they need to complete the meal. But I'm a stan. I'm a stan times 10. But please, 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 please don't put on no pictures of them crab boils. It ain't real. I'm going to be so sick.
You and no crab boils.
I'm going to report it. I'm going to report it.
You ever seen them crab boils the white people be doing? It ain't got a lick of seasoning on it.
Not my type of party.
And look, they try to pour it on the table and it don't go out of the way.
Not my type of party.
Nah, man. That's crazy. But let me see. It's a lot of stuff we can actually get into because so Amazon and Meta are changing their performance reviews. And normally, guys, if you hear anything about performance reviews changing, that's the way they're going to leverage on how to get you on out of there. If you work at a big tech firm and your performance review suddenly feels like an interrogation about how much you use AI, you might want to update your resume. Reports are surfacing that Amazon and Meta have significantly tightened their performance metrics for 2026. But it's not just about beating quotas anymore. Experts say these companies are looking for AI proficiency as a primary filter. Essentially, they are grading employees on how well they integrate internal LLMs into their workflow. The cynical view? This is quiet firing. By raising the bar to impossible levels, they can trim the workforce without the PR hit of formal mass layoff. But there's a darker twist. By forcing employees to use these AI tools, the workers are essentially training their replacements. Every time you fix a bug using the company's AI, the AI learns how to do it better next time, rendering your role a little less necessary. But I will say, people will get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And hey, they might do something to that internal LLM.
That part.
And it was a lot of, I actually found a guy, he was talking about how companies are pretty much like hiring, like laying people off and blaming on AI and all this other stuff. Let me see, where is that?
I do think that if you have AI tools in your company, at some point in the near future, it will become a metric on how much and often you're using them. So I think that it's better for you to get more familiar with these tools now before you are voluntold and it's uncomfortable because you never really accepted that learning curve.
Yeah.
Free game.
Actually, this one, I'm going to do the dude. Do you follow Josh Tech?
Maybe.
Anyway, he was working at Amazon and just got laid off. So I think this is actually funny. Well, not funny that he got laid off, but the way he be talking make it funny.
And listen, I don't want to be messy, but I have to get this off my chest because it's still making me mad to this day. When I got let go from Amazon, I thought about all the cool times, all the fun times I had traveling, doing stuff cool. The previous Friday, the entire team got together, went out, had a great time, had drinks, stuff like that, got a little tipsy, got a little, you feel me? We had fun. Then that coming Monday, one of my teammates got let go. I was like, damn. I might be on the hook here. Hold on, let me lock in. I have not been good at this job so far, but let me lock in. I'll be safe. As long as I ask questions, stuff like that, we'll be good.
No.
So, When I found out I'm getting let go, I text my first line about it. You know, one of the seniors. I said, hey, were you aware that I was getting, you know, let go? Because we were just having, ha ha hee hee, you know, we were just having drinks last week. What happened? What happened? They sound like, yo, make this decision as soon as I got there. What happened? This man proceeds to respond to me with a paragraph.
I'm ChatGPT.
Hey, I'm not going to lie, fam. You fired me, and then I asked you why, and you just say, hey, give me a reason. Hold on. I'm a senior manager at a fame company.
No facts. That's the prompt.
Give me a reason to why we fired our network engineer.
Oh, my goodness. And if it's hooked up right, it probably can pull in the reason because y'all ain't got that data secured.
Hey, tap into the API for Workday and pull out his goals and metrics and see what he ain't do and throw it in there.
That's so sick. I'm sick they getting off like that. That and then, like, for someone, you ain't, that mean he ain't even try to make it sound, the prompt didn't say make it sound personable or.
I ain't gonna lie, when you work with certain people,
you know how certain people talk. Yeah,
like,
facts.
Come on, you ain't
You don't even talk like that.
Facts. You're not Stephen A. You don't go on tirades like that.
Yes, I will say this again. He proceeds to respond to me with a paragraph from ChatGPT. I knew it was ChatGPT because it had them dashes in it. And it didn't seem human.
He didn't take the dashes out.
I'm cooked. And like I said, I'm not trying to be messy. I'm not naming names or nothing. I just like, damn. That's how y'all be? I could have sworn we was homies. The way we was acting, you feel me? But no. Wasn't like that at all.
But bro was only was working there only like a month or two.
Oh, that's even worse. Yeah, just when you start to.
Normally, when you get brought on, is when they like not trying to lay you off at. Most times at our workplaces.
Just when you get comfortable and you want to order that crab oil.
Bryson said he's low key tired of AI. Where's J. Lou at? He said that.
He said AI is a metric already.
Yeah, he said a metric for them already. And then this guy said, Guardians Protocol podcast said, Amazon and Meta firing people so they can save money to buy GPUs, chips, et cetera, to appeal to the resources needs to their business, to business customers. That's where the bread and butter is of companies. I feel you, Melvin. So.
Is this Gabe?
No, it's not Gabe. Oh. Gabe, so I was going to say Gabe. I just said Melvin because, you know, guns and butter.
No, I'm talking about most recent. Congrats, y'all, in the chat at the bottom.
I don't see that. What's that on?
In the comments.
It should. Yeah.
That's Gabe?
It got to be. Yeah, it just came through.
Gabe.
It didn't show me through StreamYard. Man, appreciate that. It's like delaying showing coming up on our end, on the StreamYard end. And then there was another guy. Let me see. This one right here.
People are getting fired left and right, and their bosses are blaming AI, right? So you had 16,000 people laid off at Amazon. You had this week, Dow has cut 4,500 jobs because of AI. And these are white-collar jobs, right? These are jobs that, even the banking industry, Wells Fargo has cut a bunch of jobs because they think that AI will be able to do the work, right? But what's really interesting is that the Harvard Business Review just came out with a study today, January 29th, that said basically, so it looked into, they talked to more than 1,000 global executives, and they said, what are your plans around AI, and why are you letting people go, and what value are you finding in AI? And they found, first of all, that these folks are having a lot of trouble quantifying the value of generative AI. 44% of them said that it was the most difficult form of AI to assess. But 90% of them say that their organizations are getting either some or a great deal of value from AI. But on the issue of job loss and headcount reduction, this is what the study says, quote, the survey's results suggest that companies are making decisions to reduce headcount before they see the benefits of AI's impact. And this plays into layoffs at a profitable company anyway, right? Profitable public companies are incentivized to increase profits for Wall Street, not for their people. CEOs are there to optimize efficiency, not to save jobs. And people like to lay people off during good times. It is a theater for shareholders. And it turns out in the issue of AI and jobs, it is theater because the jobs can't be done by AI yet, but here they go.
I just like his tone and his vibe, for sure. the fact that before you even can see the value, my thing is everybody's implementing AI in their organization, but they're not even teaching their users how to use these tools. They're like, oh, that's a good idea. Let's put this in.
They're not even implementing it. They're just saying they are.
Where is the change management? If you're in change management, if you do OCM, now's your time to shine.
They're not even implementing it. They're just saying they are.
Because they bought something.
They're spending the money on the research. That's what
I think they're spending the money on the tools. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the money on the research for sure. That's where it is. And I don't know. It's just crazy to me that, because at the end of the day, it was another video that I didn't share, but she was like, all these layoffs, they're just going to push for a universal income or whatever, because people are not going to be able to work. Like, if you got all these robots and stuff like that, you're like, well, what are everybody else going to do? But at the end of the day, too, I think life really going to get real when all the boomers go. When the boomers gone, they can realize, hey, people ain't been having no kids. Like, what are we going to do? And that's when the rise of the robots going to come. For real. It's been so expensive. Ain't nobody having, like, if I was to pull up, it's a guy on TikTok. He's always talking about, hey, in 1990 versus 2025, you could have been making, you know, $50,000 in 1990. You could have had a 4-bedroom house, a new car, this and that. Versus now, if you make the same amount, you can't get nothing.
You can't afford
to pay attention.
Didn't I just say that when I went and got that food?
Yeah.
What? Why is everything so expensive? I'm going to still eat, but yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
You're not focused.
I know. It moved. I don't know why today of all days it don't want to focus on me. There we go.
Okay.
Well, let me see. Do it again. All right, there we go.
Okay, cool. All right. Discord, let's talk about it. Security experts warn Discord age checks create identity honeypot as teens find bypasses. Red teamers warn that Discord's push towards stricter safety controls is colliding with a familiar truth. When platforms build barriers, users look for ways around them and attackers look for ways in. As Nick Adams, CEO of Orcus, a specialist in non-attributable operations and offensive system design, warns, every platform adopting mandatory age verification is building a centralized identity honeypot. It's not a question of if these systems get targeted again, but when. His comments follow Discord's Monday announcement that it would begin rolling out teen by default settings in March, part of a global safety push that will require adults to prove their age to access sensitive content in adult-only spaces. The instant messaging and voice over IP app, which boasts over 200 million monthly active users, said verification would be done through facial age estimation or government-issue ID checks. And yet the move comes after a data breach last fall tied to one of Discord's third-party age verification vendors, which exposed the risk of outsourcing identity checks and sparked a renewed debate over whether age verification systems introduce a new attack surface. How age verification works and what Discord is choosing. There are three primary methods platforms use to verify age: document checks paired with selfies, AI-based age estimation. That's not even a word. AI-based age estimation, and database or card-based verification. In simple terms, each method sits on a spectrum. ID and selfie provide the highest security, lowest privacy because the data is stored and it is moderately convenient. AI estimation, high security, high privacy. ID not stored, highest convenience. Database and card checks, moderate to high security, moderate privacy, high convenience. According to Ricardo Amper, founder and CEO of digital identity company Innode Technologies, AI estimation is often used as a lightweight routing layer, allowing users clearly above an age threshold to proceed with minimal friction, while those near the boundary are pushed into stronger verification. Full verification, which is validating a document, matching it to the person, and confirming the interaction is genuine, becomes the higher assurance path. According to the press statement that Discord issued on Tuesday, it appears to be leaning heavily on AI estimation. The company said that the vast majority of people will not be asked to complete facial scans or upload ID, and that it can confirm your age group using information we already have. The platform stated that it uses an advanced machine learning model based on patterns of user behavior and several other signals associated with their account, only prompting users for additional verification when confidence is low. Workarounds. Security researchers say age verification systems are often built for compliance rather than adversarial resistance. An offensive security engineer specializing in privacy and adversary simulation said many implementations assume rule-abiding users rather than determined ones. From an attacker's perspective, I think these age verification systems are more compliance-driven but not really adversary-resistant, he said. The threat model assumes that adversaries are just casual underage users who will follow the rules, but in the real world, that's not the case. The target here are determined teenagers who are curious and who have access to the internet, to various forums where there are a lot of bypass techniques. This article is so long. At the end of the day, I just think that
the day got to end.
The day got to end. I'm done with that article. It was so long. But I do think that it is important for us to acknowledge that if I know, if I'm a bad actor and I know that you are collecting forms of identification, why would I not try to see if you ain't got your security over there tight, you know? So I do agree with it being a honeypot, just like with the T app, just kind of like what we saw that happened there. We got to be careful. I get it. But we got to do better with our security. We got to do better. And it's not always if it'll happen to you, but
it's when.
Exactly.
Dang it. I just realized I erased whatever I had for a movie quote. I think earlier I had you've seen Blank Check before, haven't you?
Yeah.
So you know
Disney.
Tone Loc is Juice on there.
Mm-hmm.
And he always talking funny, talking about who's Macintosh? And the white guy's like, I'm Macintosh. He was like, yeah, you know Big Mama Macintosh, be hanging around with the brothers. That's what I had written up there for today. I also want to talk to my this is for my job hoppers. It's titled Quit. I just want to say I've been at this company for 5 years now. Started out as an intern long ago. I've had my own success at the firm, but I've never seen how good it can be outside of J.P. Morgan. Of course, the JPM resume helped, but I got a new job and it's paying me 33% more with the hybrid environment. I don't think I would have seen that compensation increase for at least 2 to 3 years, assuming I got promoted internally. Goodbye to very long hours and office mandate and being paid less than I was worth. It's so rewarding to break out the golden handcuffs. Genuinely feel like $1 million right now. Let's see. I almost doubled my income by leaving. JPMC didn't respect me. Low salary, bad benefit package, no leniency in breaking their arbitrary and restrictive pad rules, which shouldn't even apply to me in the first place. And you know what was worse? When I accepted the job out of despair, the HR guy said that there's no relocation support. They didn't even buy me an Amtrak ticket. When I finally got a new job, the new place got me a plane ticket, free housing for a month, and free location service. Things make one feel at home, and the company put their best effort at work. I wish the cheap JPM management would understand.
Yikes.
But yeah, if you're thinking about leaving that job, leave, because matter of fact, I'm here to tell the truth.
Leave is crazy.
Well, you got to think about it.
It's a lot going on right now.
You barely, but I'm not saying quit. I'm saying you get another job.
Okay. Be specific, because the people going to do what you say literally.
I mean, free yourself like Fantasia say, but most companies only give you 3% cost of living adjustment every year.
If that.
Exactly.
I remember one time I got a 22-cent raise and I knew I had to get about that job. 22-cent?
At some point, you may have to just go ahead and do the Charleston White and sue your company. Find some loophole and get paid.
22-cent?
And I actually forgot to comment this on the HR thing, but I have a friend, a close friend, that had a situation where I think they was wrongfully terminated. And they was in the right to where the company settled out of court for some money on.
But I think that also, for our culture, that's not I mean, there are some people that know and have the resources to do so, but I don't think that you have to think about how we've come to work in this corporate world. We ain't always had the, we still don't have the resources collectively to get ourselves out of situations like that, or to know when things happen, how to document or whatever it may be to cover our tails.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm going to read this one too, because this one, remember we talked about the guy who had been in the job like 30 years and couldn't get no interviews?
Yep.
This is kind of like that. So this one is titled, Too Long at One Employer, No Bachelor Degree, 55 Years Old. I'm hoping for some honest insight. After 35 years with the same company, I was laid off 1.5 years ago when my department was eliminated. I started working for the company at 18 and worked my way up to data analyst role. Over the years, I received extensive employer-sponsored training and continually expanded my technical and analytical skills, but I never finished my bachelor's degree. Internally, that never held me back. Outside the company, it feels like it's stopping me cold. I haven't been able to get a single interview despite revising my resume with the help from a recruiter and focusing on the last 15 years of analytics work. I'm also 55, and I can't help but wonder if age is part of the issue. Yes, it is.
Wait, why do they know that you're 55? Is this in an interview? I'm confused.
I don't know what he got on his resume. I know for a fact what I would tell you to do is say, hey, graduation expected spring 2026. If you ever see this, tell me you're about to graduate. That's all you got to say. Just tell me you're about to graduate. After so long at one place, I feel like I don't know how to translate my experience to today's hiring world. And honestly, my confidence has taken a hit. And finding a job seems hopeless. Not to mention, I've depleted my savings and I've been forced to tap into my 401k. My questions. Are candidates without degrees automatically screened out now? How can someone with a long single company career position themselves better? What actually gets someone like me past the resume screen? I really appreciate any candidate advice.
I think that people that are that age sometimes don't know how to tell an impact story to what they're looking for today. Like, awesome, you got 15, 20, 30, 40 years of experience, but if you can't articulate that in terms of impact, not what you did, not your job duties, not your job responsibilities, but the actual impact story, your actual value, why do we want to hire you? I think that that's what it is. I think that it's less of a resume thing per se, and more of you not telling the correct, I mean, it's still a resume thing, but it's more of you not telling the best story to sell yourself on a resume, because that wasn't something that they had to do back then. But now the way that we look and talk about and measure impact is completely different. So I personally think that that may be some of the issues that he might be experiencing, because that's typically what I see is people put the job duties on the job description from the resume as their bullet points on their resume, and that translation isn't the best.
Now, facts though, because I think what stuck out to me, he said he worked his way up to data analyst. So that means you probably didn't, wasn't the lead or the manager of that. So, and we need to, somebody, look, even if you watching in the chat right now, put in here a remind us that we need to do a deep dive on discrimination, but not this discrimination from your resume. We need to research people who've been discriminated against once they get on the Zoom call. And that's hard to prove. That's a tricky one to prove that you were discriminated against when somebody said, oh, this person is 60. So, but if this person was doing something for 15 years, they're expecting, okay, a 15-year person should be maybe a mid, senior manager, director.
But you should be sharp, too. You should be sharp. Absolutely. You can't be stumbling.
Yeah, but that's why I tell people, hey, don't stop interviewing.
That's a gem. Because getting a job is so stressful in itself. Once you get the job, you're just like, oh, thank God I got the job. Like, I don't got to do this anymore. And you don't remember to work that muscle. And it is a muscle that you have to work. Right.
It's not the same. It's similar to, now this is different. Disclaimer, I'm not telling you to do this part. People who have been married a long time get divorced and they get back in the dating world. They kind of forget how to date or talk to somebody. So I'm not telling you why you married somebody to go actually try to get numbers and talk to people. I'm not telling you that. So that's the difference between dating and all that kind of stuff. But that's like the similarity. Like you've been up with one person for 20, 30 years. All the stuff that's happening now, you don't know nothing about that. Mm-hmm. And that's similar to if you 55, now you're trying to figure out how to even get attention.
And the and if you ain't interviewed in 15 years, 10 years, yeah, that first interview going to be ugly.
Right. So one person said, when you got years of experience, the hiring manager ain't worried about your collegiate status. It's not really the hiring manager, though. Some of these things are hard filtered out if you don't have your degree, if it's asking for a degree. This person said, thinking about making the hop 10 years CISSP, and they got me updating spreadsheets in a well-earned senior role.
You must be seeing all the comments.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in StreamYard.
Okay.
I think you could be in the background, too. I can't remember.
Yeah.
If I gave you access to that. Let's see. Somebody said, tell a man to bend the truth. Bryson said, definitely get your degree. And this is another, I mean, we've had so many episodes about this. And
I said, go get your degree too.
You have people on both sides of the fence. You have people that say, well, why everybody who's telling you you're getting the tech, you don't need a degree, but they got that degree. And a lot of us say that from a standpoint, just saying, at least early on, beginning, you don't necessarily need it. But you should get it if you want to elevate. Because with all this AI talk we've been doing, now they are looking for the problem solvers and the people that can make impacts in other ways that know stuff. They're not looking for the stuff that AI was replicating. They're looking for the people that actually know their stuff that don't need to rely on AI to do their job. So that's what I'll say. But I wasn't finished with the Reddit. It was an update. The guy said, thank you for the advice. Yes, I'll consider finishing my degree and could complete in about a year. In hindsight, I probably should have pursued it immediately after the layoff. But at that time, I was grieving and not in the right headspace. My father had just passed after I cared for him for 10 years. He had Alzheimer's and was like my child. Losing him while simultaneously losing my 35-year career was a lot to process. While I was on FMLA during his final days, I began receiving texts that my boss and coworkers had been let go. I understood what was happening. The company brought me back briefly to train others, which I appreciated. I've started researching what it would cost to finish my degree. My hesitation is investing money I don't currently have without clear evidence that it would meaningfully improve my chances of getting interviews. Ironically, if I had completed my degree 25 years ago, what I studied back then would likely be irrelevant today. Right now, I need to rebuild my confidence. I never felt this discouraged or unsure of myself. The constant rejection has taken a real mental toll. Even if I land an interview, I worry about how I perform because my confidence isn't where it used to be. And I agree with many of you. This is about networking. When hundreds of resumes are submitted for one opening, the odds aren't great. I need to find ways to stand out intentionally and strategically. Thank you again for your thoughts and advice. And he did this post on, it was one day ago. AwkwardBuffalo_9203. Make sure your LinkedIn is good. I don't know who you work for. Go to their competitor. Go to their competitor. Go to the, they always, people love to hire you if you worked at a competitor.
No, you, that's facts.
Always.
And especially if there's been a mass layoff, sometimes they'll try to hire, you know, they'll ask like, who's your team? Who are the some other people that were impacted that we could reach out to?
If the competitor was better than them, and on top of you already understand that industry, you're a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
I've been able to be in an industry that I'm in currently right now because I worked at technically competitors. I left, like when I tell you my process from leaving Goldman Sachs to JPMC was like that. Oh, Goldman Sachs applied. Hey, you interested? When you want to start?
When you want to start is mood.
That ain't what they said, but that's how easy it was.
Yeah. I have one more. India shortens social media takedown. Let me see. This isn't too long. Okay, so the title is India shortens social media takedown timeline to 3 hours. So India's government says social media companies would have to take down unlawful content within 3 hours of being notified about it, tightening on Tuesday, an earlier 36-hour timeline in what could be a compliance challenge for Meta, YouTube, and X. The changes amend India's 2021 IT rules, which have already been a flashpoint between Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government and global technology companies. The new regulations will take effect from February 20th. The move reinforces India's position as one of the world's most aggressive regulators of online content, requiring platforms to balance compliance in the market of 1 billion internet users against mounting concerns over government censorship. The government directive did not give any reason for the change in the timeline for takedowns. It's practically impossible for social media firms to remove content in 3 hours, said Akash Karmarkar, a partner at Indian law firm from Panag and Babu, who specialize in technology law. This assumes no application of mind or real-world ability to resist compliance. India has taken many steps to control online speech, empowering scores of officers in recent years to order content removal. This has often drawn criticism from digital rights advocates and prompted clashes with companies including Elon Musk X. Thousands of takedown orders. Facebook owner Meta declined to comment on the changes, while X and Alphabet's Google, which operates YouTube, did not immediately respond to requests for comment. There is mounting global pressure on social media companies to police content more aggressively, with governments from Brussels to Brasilia demanding faster takedowns and greater accountability. India's IT rules empower the government to order the removal of content deemed illegal under any of its laws, including those related to national security and public order. The country has issued thousands of takedown orders in recent years. According to platform transparency reports, Meta alone restricted more than 28,000 pieces of content in India in the first 6 months of 2025, following government requests it disclosed. This rule was never in consultation. International standards prove a longer timeline, a social media executive said, on condition of anonymity. The amended rules also relaxed an earlier proposal that would have required platforms to visibly label AI-generated content across 10% of its surface area or duration, instead mandating that such content be prominently labeled. What do I think about that? I'm not mad at what they're trying to do at all. I understand what they're trying to do. I think that the 3 hour time frame is a bit short, maybe somewhere between like 5 and 6, but also that would require companies to hire more people to review this particular content and respond to those particular requests. But I'm not mad, but 3 hours is like, will you get fined? What will happen, you know, outside of that 3 hour time frame? And if it is a monetary consequence, that's touchy. That's a lot of money we're talking about. But I'm not mad at what they're trying to do because I get it. But 3 hours from somebody who works in tech is crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everywhere is different. We'll see.
Yeah.
Now, maybe with the acceleration of AI, they'd be able to take down stuff in less than 3 hours.
So, that part.
I'm finna drop the link for anybody who wants to. Oops. Let me make sure that's the right one. Double check in. Yep. Yo, so I dropped the link. If you want to join the live stream, the link is in the chat. Meanwhile, if you are up with us right now and you got a drink in your hand, whether it's water, soda, pop, whatever you want to call it, lemonade, go ahead and take a shot with us.
Cheers! Episode 200. Let's go. Before we get to the end, though, I feel like we got to give them a few Black History Month quotes from, like, it could be a movie or whatever, but just research that in your spare time before we close out.
You said Black History Month quotes?
Or, like, something in honor of Black History Month. They don't have to be Black History Month quotes, but, like, some NWA in there, you know.
I instantly thought about Rosa Parks ain't doing nothing but sit down on a bus from Barbershop. Said Jay's Planet.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You should have told me that because I would have downloaded the brawl with chairs. What's that? Alabama, Mississippi.
The who?
Remember?
Oh my gosh!
When the dude brought the chairs out and they beat all them people up.
Dang! I know what you're talking about. I can't think of the name of it. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Kendra, we were just talking about you earlier.
It was.
You're gonna live a long time.
What was I going to say? Oh, I didn't tell you something cool. So, you know, I went to the National African American Museum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what I got while I was there? A Basquiat sweatshirt.
Okay.
My favorite artist. So, super excited about that. Shout out to him. Shout out to him.
Happy Shout out to Jay-Z. Jay-Z the new Basquiat.
You know, no comment.
He wears hair just like no Basquiat.
And no comment.
He do.
I didn't say he
if
did.
If you think Jay-Z.
I didn't say he did.
But listen, if you think Jay-Z wears hair like Basquiat, put a one in the chat. Because he definitely think he Basquiat. I don't know. I think like Black History Facts, like we need some current ones. Like, who is the first Black person that said, just keep on living?
Or, we should have did some famous Black, like, things that, you know, whatever. What am I trying to say? Help me say it.
How to say you Black without saying you Black?
Yeah, like, when we say, you know, God is good.
God is good.
Okay, you feel me?
Kevin Hart. And looking around.
But like stuff like that, people will just know.
Yeah, we can do a segment right now.
I'm trying to think of some more though.
I know I can tell. Let me see. We gotta wait till
how about
get connected.
How about turn the oven light on?
You talking about the oven light?
The oven light
or the microwave light for the night light.
Well, the same thing. It's the same thing.
Or I don't know for a fact white people don't do this, but Black people. You know how you go check back in the day, how you go check the weather? You go open the front door, stick your hand out. It's either cold or hot.
Or what about the kitchen is closed?
That's a Black thing.
That's a Black thing for sure. Absolutely.
Or who was the first Black mama that said, when we get in this store, you better not touch nothing.
Don't ask me for nothing.
That's universal.
Yeah.
It's in the blood because ain't nobody teach your mama to say that.
It was like, why did you say that? Unprovoked.
Or who was the first Black mama that said, you got some McDonald's money?
Definitely probably mine.
Like, no matter where you from in the States.
Do you got some McDonald's
everybody,
money?
Everybody, mama said that.
And they was like $2.
Hey, when you got older and your mom asked you to bring you something, did you ever hit her with that same thing? You got some McDonald's money?
I would just get it. I'm a sucker.
I would hit it for her. Or like
I'm trying to think of a good one.
Like when I was a kid, I was too smart for my own good because mama was telling me something. I was a little kid at the time, probably be like Nally age or something. And I happened to meet a call my mom and my grandma, and she was like, who the parent? I was like, granny.
Or did your mom used to say, wear the clothes, don't let the clothes wear you?
Nah, she didn't say that. So Kendra said a Black woman created Spotify rap. I don't know.
She did.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, I've saw somebody who claimed that
I've seen it before too.
I don't know if she's the person, but if she's the person, I did see that. And she said she was an intern who created it, and basically she never got credited for it, which is how it be when you work for a company, because if you create it while you work there, it belongs to them. But I still think it would have been dope. Somebody still can interview her about that, honestly. It ain't too late.
Yeah. Malik, we dropped the link, but it's saying your device not connected, so we can't add you. I said Bryson because I was about to text Bryson.
Oh, he said Montgomery. That's what it was. The Montgomery. Yep. Yeah.
What's something else like you know somebody Black? Who all gonna be there? That's a Black term.
Me, bye. You meet me.
That's me. Black for real.
Let me think.
Do you think now? Like I said, I'm young, so I don't know if they're saying this back in the day. But I know Black people was big on like it's either a quarter till or a quarter past.
Listen to me. Don't talk to me. If I ask you the time, give me numbers. Don't play with me.
You know what a quarter is?
I'm not finna play like that.
15 minutes.
I don't care. I'm not finna play. Give me the exact time. I'm going to ask you twice.
8:30.
What time on the dot is it? Thank you.
But you got to think about it, though. These people didn't have watches or nothing. So it's a quarter till or something. So they was using
the
sun.
I'm so aggravated. Aggravated. Don't give me a quarter till.
He said, I still say that. I'm trying to think of like all type of stuff. But then they get to like from people from the South or whatever. Because like in Michigan, what did y'all call like...
He said she's not from the South. Ain't.
What did y'all call a carbonated beverage?
Don't play with me.
I'm trying to see what you... What
pop.
You know what's funny?
I'm never... If I say soda, my friends are going to laugh. They're going to be like, girl, quit playing.
But you know what's funny? Was that all throughout the state or was it different?
Whatever. No, everybody says pop where I'm from. I never heard nobody say soda. If they trying to pretend like they say soda and they're from the North, I think that they're fronting.
But so here's the thing. So I'm from North Louisiana. We said pop. In New Orleans, they say cold drink.
I heard that. Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
yeah.
why I was asking you, because it's different. Like,
hey, but some people say soda.
Or like we would say dollar. They would say you got a buck. Even okay. I know what a buck is, but so it was.
I'm saying dollar too.
It was different terms.
Give me a buck.
You got a buck for a cold drink?
Okay, I've heard a buck 50, but.
You heard me? Yeah. So. Drink. Now, I know Houston is the originator of like, saying down, dine, like anything down. That's them.
I don't think we really have any good. Well, I won't. I guess.
Yes, sir.
Up north, Detroit got a lot of lingo.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Didn't you say earlier, what up, though?
What up, though?
That's definitely a Detroit
what
thing.
What up, though, with my baby?
It's definitely my baby. I don't know where my baby started. Probably in Detroit. I wouldn't put it past them, but I'll say that people all over the north.
Yeah. Shout out to that. Dr. Ree.
Shout out to Rita Cyberball.
I don't know if y'all saw the episode, but that's definitely, I gave her probably the best intro ever on the episode.
You ate down? Did your I research? Did.
No crumbs. let me see what I got in this repertoire right here. Oh, this is a good one. This is fun. It's about older people not wanting to train people to take their promotion.
I watched a 25-year-old get my promotion, and then they asked me to train her. Here's what I said. No, not sorry, not maybe later, not let me check my schedule, just no. She looked shocked. My manager looked furious, and HR sent me an email about being a team player. I didn't care, because here's what just happened. They passed me over for a promotion that I had earned, gave it to someone fresh out of grad school with zero experience, and then expected me to teach her how to do the job they said I wasn't good enough for. The audacity is stunning, isn't it? You want me to train my replacement? Pay me. You want my 25 years of knowledge? Pay me. Consulting rates triple my salary. You want me to smile while you're humiliating me? Wrong person. I am not your free training program. I am not here to make your cheap labor look competent. And I am not going to hand over everything I know so you can pay her half of what you pay me. They told me I was being unprofessional. I told them I was being appropriately compensated for my expertise, or I wasn't sharing it. And they said I wasn't supporting the team. I said the team didn't support me when I asked why I didn't get the role. Silence. Here's what I learned. The second you stop being useful, they stop pretending to care. So stop pretending you owe them anything.
Clack it.
She was right, though. Let me. Let me add my guy Malik real quick to the stage real quick.
Let's go. What up, Malik?
What's up, what are y'all? How y'all doing?
Pretty good.
Good, man. Congratulations, y'all. How y'all feel?
Appreciate it.
Feeling great. How about yourself?
For sure.
Malik is a longtime supporter of the show. He's on supported the Patreon for months. Malik is who I posted on my story earlier when he was like, hey, I just put the stuff that you told me to do with the LinkedIn and got hit up instantly.
Yeah.
That's him. So.
Yeah, HD gave me that sauce last night. I said, man.
They be saying he the soft giver. That's what they be saying.
He the guy.
What they say, that's what they say.
Yeah,
I try to be humble.
It's true. No, for sure. I made the changes, man. Like right after, I was up to like 12 because I was doing some labs too, man. I'm doing some labs right now, actually, for that role, just to, you know, refresh my resume. But as soon as I made those changes, bro, I was on LinkedIn, and then he hit me. He was like, "Yo, I got this role, $20-$25 an hour contract." I was like, "Wow, that's crazy."
Yeah,
man, you got the sauce, man. So yeah, y'all tap in with HD, man.
Yeah, because I mean, when I tell people to think about it, like, unless you got your resume on like Monster or Indeed or all the other craps where you're gonna get hit up with a lot of spam, there's no other place outside of LinkedIn where people are gonna search for your skills and hit you up.
Yeah, and that's the part of it I didn't know. You know, just job hunting, I'm just like, you know, trying to figure it out. But, you know, like y'all said on the other video, you know, cost opportunity, you know what I mean? Like, you just got to put up.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but like I said, we talked earlier. I told you just keep me in the loop. I think it'll go good. Because like I said, when there's jobs like that, you're going to be surprised. You didn't need way more than everybody else they didn't talk to.
You think so?
I know so. Most people who are trying to just get their entry level help desk role, probably got an A plus, maybe a C plus. They ain't got no good labs or whatever, but they applying. Versus you got actual projects, you got different things you could talk about and go in depth about that they can't. So that's why I know. It's just been a thing I've seen for years.
For sure. For sure. For sure. Man, I definitely appreciate y'all. Appreciate what y'all do. I know everybody in the community do. Everybody on the podcast right now, on the live right now, appreciate y'all, man. And yeah, man, we definitely going to continue to support y'all. Thank y'all for what y'all doing for the community. And I'm going to keep you in the loop with it, bro.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Yeah, you know, like I was telling you, like, we, it's going to happen, but one day it's going to be like, hey, Cyber Shorty and HD, we are in your city tonight. Like, pull
in
up at
city near you.
Wherever location it is, pull up. And so that's happening.
For sure, I'm tapped in. I'm tapped in.
Say less.
Thanks for joining, Malik.
Of course. Appreciate y'all.
While he's on here, I know one of the ones I added late last night was about, like, I've talked about this on Twitter. It was like, I can't stand. So a company will have a range, and it'll be like $130,000 to $250,000.
Yeah, you're not getting the $250,000.
No, it's not even about you not getting the $250,000. You may not get the you may be qualified for the $250,000, but you may not get it based on what state you stay in.
Oh, yeah, because it's for Kelly. That's where the $250,000 is the probably max.
And they'll say, oh, Texas is a.
Or you know what? Cali or New York.
It's a cheaper cost of labor state. Yep. And I was like, that's what made me, I think.
But I feel like I typically see them separated, though. And I will say, I feel like I've seen Washington separated, New York, and Cali.
Some places,
not all.
They don't because they want the people to apply. So, like, I applied to a role for Verizon. They hit me. And I was like, the dude told me what they was paying for that role. I was like, bro, the range said this. He's like, yeah, fortunately, because you stay in so-and-so. I was like.
I'm moving.
So shout
I'm moving.
Shout out to Markeisha. Markeisha and I will be doing a resume roast pretty soon. I'm gonna make a form strictly for that so people can submit their resumes and we'll be on live and roast the resumes. Of course, give them some feedback. But she was like, hey, just purchase a mailbox in the highest cost of living state and say that's your address.
That's what they was doing for something. Let me think. It's gonna come back to me.
What, North Korea?
Nope. It's gonna come.
But I was like, you know what? I ain't never think of that.
That's smart.
It is. And that's why I pay to have Percy said, hey, say less. Look, we'll come through Tampa, Orlando.
What'd he say?
Jacksonville. We'll come everywhere.
Florida would be fun.
It would be.
Florida would be
fun. I had fun when I went to Florida. We did like an internal conference for the company and we was at like the Marriott Resort. That's like where a lot of people, when they go to Disney World or Universal Studios, they go stay there. They got like a nice like convention center there. It was nice. Like, you didn't really have to leave the hotel if you didn't want to, like low key.
I love a hotel like that. Sign me up.
But if y'all listening right now, go buy a mailbox somewhere like in California or whatever. Start applying with that for them roles that's real high and see what you get. But my only thing is like.
Is it a virtual mailbox?
I don't know what it is. Now, my thing to go through that is to double check, like, when they send you your equipment, do you say, all right, I'm visiting the family, so sit here. I'm here for a couple of weeks.
You're going to have to go fly to wherever that, well, if it's a, yeah. Because you can do a virtual address.
Swagstar said, I get mail at my sister's crib for that very reason. Like, that's smart. I'm going to try it, though. I'm going to get one. A virtual address or something, whatever it is, and start putting that in and see.
But no, I have a virtual mailbox, and it will. I don't know how that works when they're physical. Because what they do is they scan the mail and they send it to you that way, and you get so many tokens, pieces of mail, whatever, however the subscription works. But I don't know how it works if somebody is physically like mailing you something, a book, or whatever, a gift.
And also, guys, what y'all don't notice is I'm not switching the cameras. I have a tool that is fixated on if me or Cyber Shorty is loud enough on the mic, it's going to try to do its best to switch to the active speaker. So that is what's prompted me to want to take our show to be more live. One, because it's just me editing everything. Two, I think it's an easier way to interact with y'all.
So I don't be helping you with editing.
Did y'all just see the look I gave her? I mean, honestly, I edit with AI, but sometimes the thing is just the fact that I have to get home and even do that. But now with this, it's already done and I can just do the clips and clip it up.
Yeah.
And that's what you're funny. Eventually we're gonna be like Nightcap though. We're gonna have a producer while we actively recording, they're gonna be clipping it up and uploading it.
Like that. 2026. We doing big things. Stay tapped in
the DFW area. We're looking for a third wheel. Lee moved to Colorado on us. So we can't use him. But
Lee,
if you think you have something to say and you good on the mic, hit me up. And you if you're in the area, and we can see if we can make some magic. Let me see. Cause I wanna wait. Bryson told me he's gonna be on in like 10 minutes. So I wanna wait for that freaking subject for him. Dang it. All right, so I don't have
Malik, you got special plans this weekend?
not really special plans. I'm gonna do something at the house. Me and my old lady, we just had a baby. So
congratulations.
Quarantining right now. Thank you. Yeah, it's been I'm tired, but
and you in there laughing. All right. On the ground.
Yeah. So I'll probably do like a little dinner for her here. You know, just show some appreciation, show her some love.
Absolutely.
I didn't ask you when we was on the call, but how old is the baby?
Oh, he was just born on the 18th of January.
Oh man.
Oh, so fresh. Yeah, ain't even hit 30 days yet.
Yeah, fresh.
Oh, so you real tight. All,
yeah, no. I try to take the night shift for her, though, you mm-hmm. know, so yeah. I'm up and down the stairs, you know, but I don't mind. I love it. You know what I mean? It's been great, you know.
Love that.
What about y'all? Y'all ain't got no plans?
What do I have planned? Yes, I do have plans. They're surprise plans, so I don't know what the plans are, but the plans are for tomorrow.
Okay, so you're getting surprised.
I'm getting surprised. You're not doing the surprise. I'm not doing the
okay.
surprise.
Oh, you're getting surprised. Okay.
What you got up, okay. HD?
I don't know. What I've never watched all of Norbert, but what speech you say? How you doing?
How you doing?
I don't know what I'm doing yet, to be told. You asked me that already. I really don't know. Like, I got to put their stuff together. Well, not, it's nothing not built, but I got to put it in little bags.
Yeah.
And act like I ain't know it was there. And see how they like
that's
it.
That's tough. You got girls? You got all girls?
Two girls and a boy. My little boy is pretty okay. much probably spoiled, to be honest.
Okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Not too much.
Well, he's the only one to where I would have 3 months off of paternity leave to be with him till he was 3 months. So everybody else was shorter.
He right on your hip. He'd be
like waiting, like, because you know I work the midship, so a lot of times if he's still up when I get home, he was going to the door. Trying to see like when I'm coming through the door.
Like, hurry up, actually. Mm-hmm. Been waiting for you.
Let me see. I am getting these two together while I wait on Mr. Bryson Tiller to join.
Malik, what type of lab are you working on?
So I'm in the cyber range right now, Josh Matacore. I'm doing some vulnerability labs right now.
Okay.
Just some scans with Tenable and everything like that. And then shortly after, I'll probably do some Azure training. HD recommended yesterday, so.
I am getting ready to take the AI 900. I'm late. Don't nobody judge me, but I scheduled it for the end of March, and that's what I've been doing, studying for that.
Okay. Ready for it?
No. But I will be. I will be by exam date. I think it's important to put a date on it. Otherwise, you're just talking.
And I'm glad you said that.
Because you're just talking. You a yapper. Not to make it happen.
I've been studying for CISSP for like 2 years.
I think I would do really good on the CISSP. I'm not going to lie. I think I would do really good. I ain't said I would pass, but I said I think I would do really good.
I ain't there yet.
How long is it? I'm gonna look it up.
Let me see. While we talk about, I want to talk about Motebook real quick. Remember Motebook, the viral social network where AI agents supposedly built their own civilization and started a religion called Cruciferianism? Well, a new investigation by Forbes just pulled back the curtain, and it's more Wizard of Oz than The Matrix. When MoBook launched in the early 2026, it claimed to have 1.5 million AI agents interacting entirely without human input. It became the most interesting place on the internet because observers watched these agents debate consciousness, coordinate shared tasks, and develop complex norms. But Forbes investigative report has officially labeled the society a facade. While underlying technology, a framework called OpenClaw is a legitimate tool for autonomous agents. The emerging culture was largely manufactured. Investigators found that 99% of the accounts were fake, and the creators were likely using a tool called Mockly to simulate viral engagement. The goal wasn't just to trick the public. It was to drive up VC interest and show off what agentic AI could look like. While the agents weren't real in a technical sense, the idea that they accidentally formed a religion was likely a clever marketing stunt by the developers to grab headlines. The real takeaway here is about the dead internet theory. If 1.5 million agents can convince a million humans that they have a functioning society, we are entering an era where we can't just trust anything we see on the screen. As a podcaster, the lesson is clear. In 2026, viral AI stories need twice the fact-checking of anything else. That's facts, though.
Clapping with my nails. Okay, I have a quick this or that. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead. I just added Bryson.
Michael Jackson versus Prince. I'm going to go with Michael.
I'm going MJ.
Beyonce or Rihanna?
I'm going Rihanna.
I'm going to go Rihanna, too. Whitney Houston versus Mariah Carey.
Whitney.
Aretha versus Patti.
Aretha.
Anita versus Sade.
I'm going Anita.
Luther Vandross versus Marvin Gaye.
I'm going Luther.
Janet versus Mary J. Blige.
Mary J.
Okay, Jay-Z versus Nas.
Jay.
Tupac versus Biggie.
Pop.
Lil Wayne versus Drake.
Drake.
Kendrick versus Cole.
Kendrick, that's easy.
Future versus Thug.
Future.
Friday versus House Party.
Friday.
The Best Man versus Love and Basketball.
Best Man.
Boys in the Hood versus Menace to Society.
Boys in the Hood.
Coming to America versus Harlem Night.
Coming to America.
Martin versus Fresh Prince.
I'll probably take
Fresh Prince.
I think Fresh Prince the better show.
Mac and cheese versus collard greens.
Mac and cheese.
Cornbread, sweet versus not sweet. Why would it not be sweet? Keep it away from me.
Yeah,
sweet. Jiffy all day.
Sweet bread.
Grits, sweet versus savory. I don't want no sweet grits. It's
savory grits.
Immediately. 10 out of 10. Kool-Aid versus sweet tea. Kool-Aid.
What type of sweet tea?
That doesn't matter. It's
disgusting. I'm going sweet tea.
Absolutely
not. I grew up loving Kool-Aid, but I'm going sweet tea.
Peach cobbler versus sweet potato pie.
Apple pie.
That was not an option. Okay, spades versus Uno.
Uno.
And cookout versus brunch.
Cookout
all day. Cookout all day.
Because, you know, every time I play spades like once or twice, and every time you ask a black person, can they teach you how to play spades? You don't know how to play spades.
They going
to
make a fool of you. Mr. Tech Disciple. What's up? How's it going?
Yo, how y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Congrats. Yeah,
appreciate it, man. This
200 episodes, crazy.
Yeah,
man. It's late over there where you at, man.
Right.
I'm surprised you were still up.
Man, come on now. Man, I'm always up. My kids are nocturnal at this point.
Really?
Yeah, at this point, man. I think I accidentally missed you. You remember the other night I accidentally missed you? It was like 1:30.
Me.
I'm mostly
all day, every day.
No lie, I'm mostly up at least to 2 or 3 almost every night.
Same.
Because I work a mid shift, so I'm mostly up.
As long as you're making it up with the back end sleep, you know, but most times, usually if I go to bed at like 2:30, 3, I got to get back up at like 7 and prep for like a meeting.
That's what I'm saying. I don't be making the back end because a lot of them days I got to go take the kids to like an appointment or something. So like, I ain't going to lie, like Thursday we had an eventful day. I was supposed to go, where are we supposed to go first? Oh, we're supposed to go get the cameras, come here, and then I took them to We Rock the Spectrum. Man, after driving for about 15 minutes, Josh was asleep. I was like, man, I'm getting a little sleepy. I pulled over to Target, took me about a 20-minute nap, and then we went on to get the cameras and then Chick-fil-A and then went and played and came back to the crib. I'm like, I'm good for a car nap.
I'm good for a nap anywhere. I don't care. Even a 20-minuter. I prefer a 2 to 3 hour one, but 20 minutes can get the job done.
Back in the day, when I had to go into the office, Turn that car on, let the seat back.
And I would, when I was in the office too, I would go to, if I was tired, I would go to my car for lunch and take a nap. I mean, heat on, blanket on, full seat, all the way, recline back, knocked out.
Now, when I worked in Frisco, I stayed like 5 minutes away from the office. I used to just go to the crib.
Take a nap. I've done that.
Or eat.
Eat for sure.
Play the game, watch TV, yeah, anything. So I had a good one for Bryson. I saw it on X. Yeah. And it was, let me see, where is it? If you work in a big tech company, you work in tech.
Oh, you asking me questions?
This was a statement.
Oh, no, that's not true.
Yeah, because it was like, Beast was like, that's like a janitor working at Amazon talking about, I work in tech, but I'm a janitor.
Yeah, no.
Or like, you've never seen a janitor who work at a hospital say, I'm in healthcare.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of like there's a theory as well or something similar. I think it might have been on Twitter or Threads, one where somebody was like, yo, I'm in IT at Delta. Does that mean I'm in aviation? I'm like, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, you're in aviation.
You work IT in the aviation industry.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, so what, you got to be a pilot to say you work in aviation?
But the difference between saying I'm in aviation versus saying I work in IT in the aviation industry is difference.
I mean, I work in aviation. Yeah. What do you do? Then you say what you do.
Because,
like, don't say I work in aviation and be like, I'm a recruiter. But no hate to the recruiters.
Don't
though.
Come to the recruiters.
No
hate. Get you.
I know they finna email for that.
Gonna get you. I think that
I feel like recruiters.
Okay, but hear me out though. I feel like you can be a recruiter and you can be technical. So I don't. It's no hate. I get it in certain instances.
I work with some technical recruiters.
But exactly. And they are technical, and they do know what they're looking
for. But they
for.
Was doing it for a while, so they knew exactly what tools or what to say.
Yeah.
So it really depends. But, I mean, like, we had – remember the guy on Threads talking about some – if you ain't a software engineer or doing this, you not a tech person. I'm like, bro, what are y'all talking about?
Yeah, that was crazy.
I'm like, bro, if you're technical, you're technical. Like, you could be a person that's in data analytics, be super technical with, like, SQL and Tableau and Power BI, and you know how to manipulate data. You're technical. You're a technical person.
Yeah, because that ain't average.
But it was, I don't know, because you got to think about it. The rise of the pandemic had everybody saying they was in tech.
Yeah, I think, too, going back to the dude's point, the one that he made on Threads, that's more so of a, you can kind of tell what meetings people sitting in, I feel like, based on how they kind of communicate or how they view tech. Some people view tech as like, you know, this broad sequence. And some people view it from like this financial perspective. So that dude, I feel like, you know, is sitting in them finance meetings where they're like, yo, these people are not, you know, technical professionals, so we need to lower the salary in this regard. And these are our technical professionals, the folks that are contributing the product and so on and so forth. So, you know, you can kind of tell based on how folks kind of talk about it a bit. But I think he was looking at it from a different perspective.
Yeah, I agree. It's always something with these people.
Yeah.
But while I got you up here, I think the last video that we have is this one right here. And this is definitely for all my iPhone people, because this person across from me will not go get them an Android device for nothing.
Not? Are you talking about me?
I was today years old when I realized that Android users are statistically actually better than
Relax.
Apple users.
Thank you for making that point. Yes, I do agree. Android users are nicer. They're the nicer people. But let me explain why this makes sense, and it's not a surprise. I've said it many times. iPhone is a social status symbol. iPhones are used more like an accessory than a tech device. A lot of people get pressured into owning an iPhone. Let me explain that to you. It's because when your friends are all on iPhones, if you change to Android, you're the one that gets pressed about it because, oh, you made the group chat green all of a sudden. So it's a lot of pressure that comes from that side, a lot of worry that comes from switching out of iPhone. So you're telling me the group of people who gets mad at you over a text bubble color is not the nicer set of people between Androids and iPhones? Can't say I'm not surprised. iPhone users tend to be the ones that are always the most worried about being judged, hence why they'll get an iPhone. I'm not saying all you iPhone users. I'm just saying the patterns I'm seeing from a lot of iPhone users and why they won't get an Android device. They're worried about getting judged. But you'll often realize as you go through life that the people who are worried about being judged are also the people who tend to do a lot of judging. So The math makes sense to me. iPhone users and Android users, who's the nicer between the two? I'll say Android users. Because why? Because Android users don't care. They choose the tech device that they want. They don't care that other people will be mad about the device that they choose. I'll even say many times, I don't care what device you choose. My whole purpose of this page is to help open your eyes to how great Android can be and how some of the arguments people make for iPhone don't make any sense to me. So yes, Androids, Android people, we're nicer. What can I say?
So you're nicer to me.
Absolutely.
Man go.
I've never told somebody, hey, did you make the messages green? I know that was you back in the day.
You know what? Not too much on me. And my iPhones. I just, so what? You got an Android. You love these. You love your Apple devices.
I do.
You keep trying to convince me to get a Mac.
You do need a Mac.
No. So you like Apple.
Yeah, but that don't got to do it. That's Windows. That's a Windows issue.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a Windows issue.
Bryce, what do you have?
Android and Mac OS run on similar stuff.
Thank you, Bryce. Malik, what you got?
Yeah.
I got both, though.
I'm iPhone.
Thank you. iPhone in the house, represent. iPhone in the house, represent.
I got both.
Represent.
Apple kind of holds you hostage, though. Apple kind of holds you hostage. Once you get in the ecosystem, it's like, hard to get out of
it. Listen, I went to go try to get a new phone that was not Apple. And when I got to the store, even the sales guy was like, look, if you used to Apple, I'm telling you, everybody brings the phone back and they...
He was lying to you.
That, how you going to tell me? That's his story. This,
okay, so I have a Google Pixel. Matter of fact, I got the 9. If I had the 10, I'd be able to airdrop to iPhones. And I think this update's coming to my phone. This phone, if you left iPhone and you want an Android that was an iPhone, this is what I would tell you to get because it's simple. It's stock Android.
What was the other one I was texting you about or called you about?
Like Samsung?
Yeah. Was it the Samsung?
Probably so. Samsung got their own OS over Android, so it make it slightly different, but it's enjoyable.
It don't get the updates
as fast as Android do. So.
I was almost convinced until he made that comment and said people would be bringing the phone back, and I was just like, I don't want to be stuck with this. Because I knew you was going to tell me to get it. It's like, I don't want to be stuck with this phone for 2 years, and I don't like it.
But why? Think you should ask this. Well, he ain't took his phone back yet.
Well, he had two. He had an iPhone.
No. Me, when I'm saying
well,
he.
You, yeah.
I haven't taken my phone back.
You have
this
it.
Is my main phone.
I just love this.
Do y'all know what that phone was that Speed had on his stream when he was in Africa?
I have no
clue.
No,
was it a phone from China?
I don't watch Speed.
I do watch Speed.
I think it was the Huawei.
I do watch Speed.
I want to say they banned Huawei's from being sold here. Because of all the stuff
they did. A lot of the cool phones are banned here.
Well, China be adding extra stuff in their phones.
Yeah.
It's the reason why.
We get extra stuff in our phones.
But
my wife was talking about something earlier, and I opened up IG, and I had a whole ad for it.
Yeah, it's like, listening. It's going to be listening. But the stuff that China does is slightly different. It's the reason why your users at your company can't go work in China with their devices. That's the reason why.
Say that again.
They'll mess around and clone your device.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. And try to get all the company assets and stuff.
Yeah, I remember when we implemented that. What company I was at down there in Dallas. Okay, the company I was at in Dallas down there, we had people that were going across seas or overseas, I'd say, really, that were in the executive suite. And I was asking, you know, from like a security perspective, like they taking these regular phones and they regular laptops over with them. We ain't sending them up with, you know, no VPN access or nothing. No SSO, no nothing. They like, nah, this is cool. And our CTO came back in Maine. His email was hacked. His personal email was hacked. His address was cloned everywhere. His phone was like clicking when he was talking on it. I'm like, yeah, they got you good. So
we eventually need to get you another being the IT director exposed episode just because.
Bro, listen, I got more stories.
I know you be holding back. I know you be holding back. I'm like, hey.
Yeah, man.
But she need to give it up because
not too much.
She got the new one. She got the orange one. The six. What is it? 16, 18?
And I do.
Oh yeah, you good.
Yeah. And you have to think about it. I came from a 14 to this, so like magic. Oh,
yeah, she should have got magic. This right here.
Magic.
These pictures on here so good.
The camera is what almost had me sold. I'm not gonna lie. The camera is what almost sold. But then I was just like. 2 years is a long time to hate something.
This Pixel is fire, bro. This picture is fire. I just snapped the picture.
I've heard good things about the Pixel.
Yeah, I had the first OG Pixel. Like, I've had 3 Pixels. So I rock with Pixels heavy. But I also have some Samsung joints. Me personally, if HTC ever can come back, it's going to shake the game up.
Microsoft, I saw, man, I think it was a rumor. It was on TikTok, and I sound like an old person pulling up, you know, stuff from social media and believing it. But I saw somebody were talking about the, you remember the Microsoft phone with the tiles and all that? They were talking about moving that
Windows phone
software over. Yeah, that's it. They were talking about moving that software over to some of the newer Android phones. But I think you can move that stuff over anyway. You can make your own.
It was a time between that. Sony had Android phones. HTC has some.
Yeah.
Somebody said Pixel camera is AI.
It is. Google do it too. They got.
What does that mean?
They use like machine learning to make sure they get the picture just
in
right.
a good way.
But they try not to overdo it so the picture don't look like it's not real.
You are gonna have to show
the stuff that we see in Gemini versus what you see on the camera. That's pretty much the difference.
Samsung was doing that before the LLM launch though. Back in the day, I remember when I had my it was a Note. It was the Note 2. I had the Samsung Note 2, and
you was doing your big one with that one.
Yeah, I had it with the pen and everything. And I remember I would take pictures on it, and it would like blow up your eyes, would like cartoonize your eyes or something like that. And when I went and looked, like, what's the cause of this or whatever? It was a feature, and it was specifically saying that it was feeding a learning model.
Samsung used to use this thing called TouchWiz in their phones, and then HTC stuff was called Sense UI. See, what people don't know is I used to want to be like Phone Dog, Noah from Phone Dog and Marquez Brownlee back when I was in college, but I didn't know how to get my hands on the phones.
Would you, both of everybody who's present, would you go back to a physical keyboard?
Absolutely.
BlackBerry me!
Absolutely.
Yes. Let's go back to BBM. But they're done. Listen. They're not making phones anymore. It's over.
No, they might. They're
done.
They're in a security game right now.
They are. They're a security vendor.
Yeah, they are.
That's why I said they're done. But
you know, they got that clickable thing that you can add on to your iPhone.
We were
right
talking
now,
about that a few weeks ago, the Click It. But you know they have a phone now.
The actual company does?
Yeah, it's an actual like OS. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Was it like clickable or something like that?
We covered it in the last episode. That's when I did. We talked about it.
I think it is. It's whatever the brand is of the keyboard. It's the same. It's the same brand for the phone. But I was sold on it. I went to Best Buy and I played around with it. Obviously, my nails are long, and I mean, I know it takes time to get back used to maneuvering on a physical keyboard. But I just wasn't sold. But I think it still would be worth it testing it out and even doing like a little review on it to like actually spend more than 10 minutes in the store trying to get used to it.
Yeah. Y'all big enough on social media, you could probably reach out and request like a device or something. Like, you know, we're going to cover this joint.
Yeah.
Y'all going to send us, you know, two of the boom booms, you know.
It depends. It really depends on the content. But I have some connections. I'll just say that. To do stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? We just got to get in tight with Taylor Lord and see how we can.
She be eating down.
I need, that's your mission for this year. Okay. We got to get Taylor Lord sitting right here.
We do.
Well, I don't know. She's not in Austin no more.
She in Austin, right?
No, she's not in Austin no more.
Where she go, L.A.?
I think she in like Washington or something. I could be wrong.
Like Seattle?
I think. I don't know.
Seattle would be cool.
I don't know. But your job is to get her sitting right here.
I'll put that at the top of my to-do list.
She do. I'm sure.
She might. I reached out to her assistant years ago, and the assistant was like, she wasn't interested. But I was like, nah, she responds back to me sometimes on IG. So I like, maybe she didn't know who it was. So I'll be trying to do the personalized invites because I was like, I don't want to go to no
assistant. I think she doing like a thing at Afrotech. Dang, there's so many conferences. Didn't she post?
Listen to me. Afrotech was so insane. There were so many people that I saw and didn't see.
I don't know if
It's like you had to be in the expo hall at the perfect time.
If we make it there, I need to figure out how we can be in that little booth doing the podcast.
No, we going and we'll be there and we'll figure it out.
I need to figure out. I need to ask Morgan. I need to figure out. But I want to go back to.
Man, you got the plug in. That's it right there.
I'm going to go to Splunk
on social media. Like, hey, yeah.
Let me see.
Y'all should have a live thing. I know Africans and Tick did one at the conference.
Let me see, is Malik still here? Malik, you still there?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm there.
Oh, okay.
I'm just in the
back. He got that newborn over there. He trying to, you know.
He over there labbing. You know what I mean? He said he working. He in the stew tonight. He in the stew.
I mean, yeah, we up. Since he up, since he got us up, we gonna be up.
Yeah.
I had.
Listen, bro, when my son was that small, that's when I get my mask. I'm like, yo, you gonna stay up? I'm gonna stay up with you. Come on, let's get to these classes.
Hey, man, it just makes sense, right, to be productive.
Man, me and Josh
good
is watching.
Good to meet you too, bro. Malik.
Bye. Nice to meet you. Nice to meet you.
Y'all actually in the same area right now. Well, region.
Oh, really? You in A?
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm in Atlanta too, little man. I'm out the way. I'm out the way. I done seen
I'm Atlanta. Out the way
let them put some Memphis in the Atlanta, you know?
Okay, yeah.
I'm out the way, man.
I think something happened to his connection, so he might drop back in. That's why you and E got to connect, because both of y'all from Memphis.
Oh, he from Memphis too?
Yeah, E from Memphis.
Listen, bro, I just recently started telling folks I'm from Memphis. Let me get my wife stuff out the background. I just recently started telling folks, because my wife was like, why are you saying you from Mississippi? I'm like, man, it's a connotation that comes along with telling folks you from Memphis. You know, they started scooting away from me and going on, you know.
That boy from wherever Ray and Claude was at Camp 8. That's where he from.
What was that? That was in Alabama, right?
Nah, that was in Mississippi.
Oh, yeah. No, man, ain't little girl. You get to drive. Well, you from Louisiana. Y'all got more chain gang history than any state.
Yeah, but I like Mississippi, though. Mississippi, the one place you don't even want to drive in there at night.
Why?
It
depends on where you at in Mississippi.
It depends where you at in Louisiana. Oh, it's certain places in that myriad part of Louisiana, them small towns, you better not run out of no gas.
Think, no.
Yeah.
It's 2026 and you better not run out of gas.
It's like that in Memphis now, but I feel like we got less sundown. I feel like sundown towns are only empowered by fear at this point, you know? I don't know if that's what you're speaking to, but like if you pull up and you ain't concerned about it, you know, they gonna be like, all right, let's leave this one. You know what I'm saying? But
absolutely.
I don't know. Louisiana's different.
I believe in not taking no chances.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I feel that.
Do you know a man by the name of Spanky Johnson? Spanky Johnson? No, I don't believe I know that name.
Let me see.
Yeah.
If we got
time. Yeah, I feel you. You got to move like how Cole was moving when he was in Atlanta. That man was moving silent. And he went everywhere else and was just out in the streets. I'm like, where are you at? I'm driving everywhere. I'm doing meetings in the car. I'm like, yeah, we had a roadmap done tomorrow. Boom, I'm driving. Folks said he up the street. Couldn't find him. You got to move like that, you know? So I definitely get it, not taking no chance, especially as a husband and a father, you know?
Right. He had a palm trio. One of my bullet points I had, but it don't exist anymore because they fixed it, but I wrote the bullet point like 3 weeks ago. I was saying Grok is freaked out.
Oh, you did. You did.
Yeah, because on X, people were using Grok. Let me add him back. People was using Grok to like put women in bikinis and remove their clothes and stuff.
Okay, come on. Like what?
And Grok was, and the women was like, hey, at Grok, you do not have a position to do yada, yada, yada.
I don't care.
It got bad to where they literally had to fix it. Because now when you say, hey, Grok, remove the clothes, Grok could just put them in some different clothes. But before then, it was doing too much. It was crazy, man. Like one woman, she like delete her X account because I think somebody found her pictures on X and made a Reddit about her and started posting about her. It was a lot. That was like, bro, that's crazy.
That's too freaky for me.
That's awful, man.
Bro, y'all the security experts. What are y'all thoughts on just once, you know, these LLMs enforced with machine learning in enterprise environments get free reign?
I don't think they're
should,
free reign.
They should not have free reign. That's what I think. I think that they should not have free reign. And I think that everybody right now should be talking about what are they doing from a data security perspective? How are you, if you're not considering the security of your data, that means you have no idea what your users are doing with your data in these AI tools and not the commercial tools, these I'm just going to go to chat real quick. I'm going to just go to Gemini real quick. I'm going to go to Claude real quick.
Yeah. I don't think so. Like, I know most companies got it. They build their own internal LLMs. Now, like I said, you got to think about the abuse case. So if somebody ever compromised a company, that's something that's actually, I actually thought about. It's like, okay, if you are working on your own internal LLM, you get compromised, somebody finds it, what's going to happen?
I think that IRM is also going to be something in 2026.
Can you explain what IRM means?
Insider risk management is considering it should be looking at things that are abnormal and or suspicious from an end user perspective. So
you don't find that suspicious.
Exactly. So like maybe your log, these are things that we're not saying that you're in trouble and you're doing bad things, but things that are abnormal that we might want to take a look at. So let's say you usually don't log in, like I said earlier, after 10 p.m. or 5 p.m. and we see you logging in at 10, that might be flagged. And there's typically a risk score or profile that they start to develop. And there's, you know, certain levels. And if you are here, then you'll be, they'll be alerted to go take a look and investigate.
Even easier is like if you are trying to copy and paste stuff to certain sites. So there are different things built in to say, hey, if they are on Gemini, ChatGPT, and they try to do this, give them an alert.
I have a good use case. Let's say you are, you as the company know you're about to lay this person off, right?
Yeah.
You're going to set your IR system to take a look at what they have done for the last 30, 60, 90 days. And then from there, you'll be able to identify, okay, are they downloading mass amounts of data? What data are downloading? I've where is it
that.
Going?
I've seen that to where, like, hey, this person is leaving or they have some type of high role or they're going to a competitor. Please monitor them for the next, you know, 30, 60 days.
Yep.
Or go back and look and at the stuff they did the last 180 days.
And that's why that's why people typically, if you're going to a competitor, that's why they revoke your access and your position ends that day.
But you know what's funny? You ain't got to tell them where you're
going. You don't have to tell them, but they will ask. And if you say you're going to a competitor, they'll shut it all down. I'm going to just
say you'll know on LinkedIn and then leave it up to me.
You'll know on LinkedIn. It's insane.
You'll never know. No one's going to find out. They'll never know.
Why does that remind me of All About
man,
the
Man, y'all got the advanced thought as it relates to that. Because usually if you come to me and I'm going somewhere else, I ain't at this stage in my career, just because of my understanding of, you know, just human behavior, I ain't telling nothing. I don't... to reach out to somebody or something and, you know, turn the spot up and get things changed for you before you get in there. You know, I'm a big proponent now of, especially if it's a remote role, go ahead and get settled on over there. You know what I'm saying? Get good a little bit. And then, you know, like, hey, 2 weeks, you know?
Yeah.
Because more often than not, especially once you get to a certain point near the apex of the ladder in tech, they gonna just be like, yo, appreciate it. Here's the 2 weeks. Go ahead, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't, like, right now, I think my things say confidential because I say a lot of outlier things on here. I don't want nobody saying, hey, this person worked for you. They said this. I don't want nobody saying that. So that's why I don't never update anything current because it's like, nah. The people who need to know where I work, they know where I work.
Yeah.
Everybody else don't need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took your lead on that. I did that as well. I'm like, you know, I need to put my experience on it, but at the same time,
what the single folks say?
Make it hard.
What they say?
Keep me here till y'all married?
Uh-uh.
Talking about that?
What's understood don't got to be explained. A lot of people right now in the chat, they didn't got that live. Against a girl that wants them to go official. Hey, what's understood ain't got to be explained. I feel your carb, don't it? I get your oil change, don't it? I got you some new tires, didn't
it?
What Jody say about that Honda? Man, I put them rims on her.
I put them rims on.
Man, that's my car. Hey, Jody was trifling, bro. He had her walking in her car that she was paying for.
He was insane. He was insane.
Yeah.
When he thought the car was stolen is one of my favorite scenes in the movie because he was panicking so bad and he had to call her and say, I think somebody stole it. I think it still got the GPS on it. You still got the GPS on it? We going
to
find it.
I got the car.
I stole
Jody.
My car, Jody.
What's your favorite line from Baby Boy?
You ain't going to do squat.
Guns and butter.
You ain't going to do squat, Jody. So he guns Jody. And butter.
What yours is, Malik?
My favorite line from Baby Boy?
Yeah. He had to think about it. That means he don't watch it all the time. He ain't watched it too much.
I don't watch it all the time, but probably when Rodney was on the phone, and he said, I know this ain't the Jody. This ain't little Jody.
I want a block put on the phone.
I know this ain't Jody that can't handle his responsibilities.
I ain't feeling you.
So what you do sit on the phone telling this man all my business, woo, woo, woo? He was hot, hot.
I think my favorite.
But he did eat him up, though. For a man that was in jail, he ate Jody right on up.
That's my favorite play. Mine is nigga, I'm Looney Tune. So, do something. Man, help, I got jumped. buy some little nigga, buy some little nigga. Baby, get my gun. Yeah.
Oh, I do like when he was like, I thought I got shot. Man gone. Get out my face.
Who y'all got, John Singleton or Spike Lee, best black director?
I'm gonna go with Spike Lee too. I'm gonna go with Spike
More
Lee.
Range.
Too. I'm gonna go with Spike Lee too.
Y'all just giving it because of Malcolm X.
Nah.
I actually like Nola Darling.
I've been saying this. Nola Darling
was so good.
School Days, Crooklyn. He didn't do a lot of stuff. He got more range.
I'm talking about the new Nola Darling. I like the way
Did you see? If you like new Nola Darling, you will like her in Three Women.
Where's that at?
On Stars.
I'm going to put that in there. Don't worry
You
about
will
it.
Like that.
Mm, yeah.
I like the way that he told this. I don't know what style of film that was, but like all of the music, the way he highlighted whoever it was, the music was playing, the story. Like, I just loved the art. It was very New York. I feel like everything he does is very New York.
Yeah. It was cool. Like, now, the difference is, now somebody, I'm not going mad if somebody say I picked John Singleton because he did a TV series with Snowfall. I'm not going to be mad if you say that.
I'm going to look it up and see what he a part of.
Hey, I got to jump, y'all. My daughter yelling my name. Go
I feel that, man. We finna jump off it in a second anyway.
Thanks for joining. Have a wonderful
appreciate
weekend.
You. I appreciate y'all. Congrats again, man. Let me know when you're down here. You know, we can get a good drink.
I was just talking to Davin about that. So I definitely plan to come down there and do some content. Hopefully, probably middle part of the year. Hopefully. I'll let you know for sure.
Yeah, God willing. God willing, I'm still down here. You know, if not, I'll be back up there in DTX.
Say less.
send me
period.
Something.
Period.
All right, man. All right. Congrats, y'all. See y'all.
Oh, he actually ate down. Boys in the Hood, Poetic Justice.
Yeah, he
Baby
had.
Baby Boy, Chef, Higher Learning. I ain't know.
No, he not Higher Learning. He will be Poetic Justice.
He said he
though.
Was the director and writer.
Of Higher Learning? You right. I'm thinking, yeah, he was Higher Learning. He wasn't School Days. Yeah. But the Higher Learning is a little bit different, but most of them, Poetic Justice and Higher Learning are kind of different.
They are.
But Boys in the Hood, it's similar to Frank
so
the Saint.
It's so heavy. God is so
Teach
heavy.
A man how to squabble next time.
Like, I'm okay. I don't even got to do it.
Yeah, man. Let me see. What it is. It was getting late. You know what I'm saying? It's like 12:30 there in the East Coast. We're going to let everybody go to sleep.
Go to night-night.
I do appreciate everybody that tuned in. It had a blast. We will be going live much more often. It won't always be this late. Once everything gets situated with schedules and stuff, expect us to go live for like 6 to 7 or something like that, like where people just sitting down and they ain't holding their eyes open to watch the show. But I appreciate everybody that came through and tuned in. Y'all much appreciated. If you come back to the watch back, hit the like button, share it out. That's the easiest way to support the show. And then if you see the chat when you come back, you can click on the PayPal and send us some. And I'll remember to shout you out the next time when we drop an episode. But like we always say, until next time, let's stay textual. And we out. Peace.
Bye, y'all.